Blog Talk Radio.
So what the hell is going on? It says on the air
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without this fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV. We in the park or on VIP.
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, Wrist and Neck, Drip Drop, Clip Pop, Hold That, Romaine, Hand Up, Stand Up, Know That, Wasn't Always Rosé, Click Yeah, Viva, Miami for the Weekend, Eatin', Shima, Pull Up, Valet Park Car, Bima, Remember Being Flat Broke Till I Had Enoch, Had To Get My Change Up, Change Up, Like A Flat Tire Side Of The Road, The Right Time With The Right Grind, Climbing The Rose, Rock Diamonds To Glow, Ice Blinding And Shows, Heard Lights To Slide in the hole, it's my way, or the highway, eye in the toe, yes, I'm a pro, press eye in the foes, talking, what a walk, talk, never the foe, yeah.
You never really noticed me, now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me, just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Chick like who him? In the low bubble, trouble with the low brim. Running no huddle, double the score. Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor. Won't settle with all. Middle finger to loss, parquet. Bread and butter, but I hunger for more. Look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore. Mimosas, what I said, starting my mom. Why these other niggas playing cute, playing the show. Beachfront, she can front if she want.
Trust.
Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arraigned in court. For no dame,
it's public.
I'm no lame, know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire is fire, saliva, propane. Q, turn it up, flick, the bitch is always the same.
Yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me.
Hey.
Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without the fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV.
Public, do it big, Chris Wallace. Any night, take flight, St. Thomas. First class recliner, wine and empanadas. Stay sky high, call the frequent flyer mileage. Touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba. Chick shirt cooler, something like Zamunda. Blue water, white sand, Rona's in the cooler. Cue Mr. Dos Equis, come correctly. Chilling crushed linen, mocha loafers, Giuseppe's, huh? They told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion. Thought you was fancy, huh? Guess you drew like Nancy Dunn. Shed a tip for every lap he run. Real rap, cause on track, he L Cappy son. Hand out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens, lights, camera, action, one. Deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Good evening, Dons and Divas. I'm your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Before we get started, I want to take this time out and thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a great show. We had special guest appearance from Mixmaster Ice from the pioneer group UTFO. We had Janine LeBron with the GQ General Question. Then we had up-and-coming artists, The Committee was in the building, Cobra Kai and Picasso. Check out their new joint. It's hitting the nation hard, called Knockout King and Canvas. It's fire. After The Committee, we had model sensation Jazz Bunny in the palace. To hear last week's show, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Tonight, we have another spectacular show for y'all. We have Melinda Moore with the GQ General Question. We have up-and-coming artist Catherine, and we will be playing her smashing single, Screaming to Be Free, and finding out what's her next move in the music industry. After Catherine, we have Kano, letting us know what's going on with him since the last time he's been on the show, because he want to talk about his new mixtape that he's releasing that's fire. After Kano, we have a special guest appearance, The Real from Untamed Talent. He's a poet, an author, a host, a comedian, and we're going to talk about all that. So stay right there. Don't move. We'll be right back with Melinda and her GQ General Question. This is GQ Palace, love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Hey.
Join us. We back at the palace, and with me right now, I have Melinda Moore. Melinda, welcome to the show. Hello, Melinda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. You know, really do appreciate it. Would you like to tell the listeners a little something about yourself?
Sure. 40, from Hartford, Connecticut. I don't have children, and I'm just living my life to the fullest right now.
You don't have no kids right now, so you're enjoying yourself right now, huh?
I love me.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, what's your topic for this evening?
My topic. If you're in a relationship and you feel you're not getting the attention that you deserve from your significant other, do you start seeing other people?
Oh. Wow. What made you choose that specific topic?
I'm in that situation right now.
Ah, okay. So you want some feedback on it.
I do.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. All right, Dons and Divas. Phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air and give your point of view on Melinda's topic, or stay on the line to hear the show. Well, me personally, I don't think that's the right thing to do, but it also depends on how bad that relationship is. That's the way I mainly see it, you understand? If it's getting to the point where there's no communication and there's no trust, you know, you have no other choice but to just step out of it. And if you step out of it, just know you're leaving and you're not planning on coming back.
Right.
You know? So that's like a, in a way, it's like a iffy topic because you don't want to leave. You know, it's certain times in a relationship where things go good and things go bad. So if things are going bad at that specific time, are you going to step out? Because you never know. Like they say, things get better at the time.
I just feel like maybe it's time to take that route.
Well, we have a caller. We're going to bring that caller on right now, all right?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you hear that topic?
Yeah, I heard a topic. I think that was a great question to ask me because that's something that's common to them today. I don't think it's good just to step out on a relationship and to look for that attention that you need. You know what I mean? Especially if the type of person is loyal, faithful to your mate. I mean, but you know, if you have already explained to your mate, you know that you're not giving, that you're not receiving the attention that you need or that you want, and your mate still refuses to give you that, then you should make it clear to that person, that, listen, we spoke about it, it's not working out, and then just break up with that person and then just go and, you know, get that attention that you need. But, because, you know, there's a lot of problems with that. Being with someone and sticking out on that person, it can cause a lot of controversy, arguments. Things might get worse.
So if you feel like that relationship is going good, you got that off and on type of relationship. So if you feel like your relationship is going bad, where there's no communication, no trust, and you just find somebody and you feel like, all right, well, I have to talk to this person, not to relate to this person. This person is actually giving me that type of advice that I need. You don't think something serious might occur between that person where, all right, where you and your significant other get in an argument, you're going to be like, all right, you know what, let me just go for a walk. You want to call this other person to give you that nutrient feedback. You understand that's going to make you feel good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. That's exactly what will happen. Absolutely.
I think it goes by how the relationship falls. You understand? Because you're going to have good relationships, you're going to have bad relationships. The thing is, how worse will it get if it's bad?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
And how tolerant that you are, too, to deal with it. Do you feel like whatever you're going through is worth going through, or do you feel like your relationship is worth saving? You know, if there's a limit, everybody has a limit. Who knows what your limit is?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. We have another caller. We're going to bring that caller on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Right, did you have a topic for this evening?
Could she repeat it?
Melinda, could you repeat your topic?
Sure. If you're in a relationship and you feel that you're not getting the attention that you deserve from your significant other, do you start seeing other people?
Mm. Well, now, me personally speaking, I was basically in that relationship. I didn't go out, you know. I thought that, you know, maybe talking and trying to work things out would make it better, but, you know, it didn't. But I don't think that, you know, me being a woman, I wouldn't do it. You know, I would cut all ties, if anything. And if I choose to go see someone else or step out with somebody else, I'm going to be done with that relationship.
So mainly you don't feel it's right if you're in a relationship to step out. But what if your relationship is just really going bad, like I was telling the last caller, with no trust and no communication, but you're still trying to make it work, but your significant other is like, they're not giving you that feedback that you want to hear. It's all negative vibes that you're getting. Would you
say? I'm out.
So,
I'm doing me. You know,
okay, so.
and don't come calling me once you know you feel like, you know, because I'm stepping out and seeing somebody else that you want to make it right, because all that you're doing is getting me to stop doing what I'm doing and do the same dumb shit that you did before.
Yeah, that's understandable. But see, like I said, that's why I say it's like a iffy, because
right.
It's hard to determine, you know.
Honestly, it depends on that person.
Uh-huh.
I strongly believe it would depend on that person in general, because I stayed, you know, like trying to make things work, and it just wasn't working. But I didn't want to give in. But I didn't go and turn to nobody else knowing that, you know, he was out there doing what he wanted to do, but I didn't do, you know, I didn't step out.
Mm-hmm.
But you better believe I'm stepping out now, baby.
I hate you. No problem. Be happy.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Be happy. I hate you.
So, Melinda, let me ask you, how do you feel about the situation?
I'm stuck pretty much because I've brought it to this person's attention. We've well, I've talked about it. I don't get much feedback on that person's end. And I just feel like I'm putting in all the effort and I'm not getting anything in return. I care about the person. I'm not going to say I'm in love, but to a point where I'm just at a standstill and, like, I'm almost at the point where I'm not willing to try anymore.
How long have y'all been together?
6 months, so it's not a long time.
Oh, okay, so it's new. It's new. It's new and fresh. But like you say, you're not getting any feedback from him, so, you know, like you said, you were almost at the point that, hey, this is a done deal, basically, right?
Right.
Okay, so
like,
can I ask you, do you feel like your time, your life is actually worth waiting for this person?
Wait, do I feel like I didn't hear you?
Like your time, you know, like do you feel like it's worth you waiting for this person?
I did, but now I'm to a point where I don't. And it's because I've stuck by him through things. He recently got out of jail.
Wow.
I've been there through everything, helping him do things. And it's just like I don't know how I feel.
Sometimes it's best to just leave things alone. You know, God has a plan for everybody.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you feel like you're putting your all into it with this person and they're not giving you this feedback, yes, it might hurt. It might hurt, but it's not going to hurt for long. You're going to get through it. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
You're definitely going to get through it. But your main thing is to have that strength to get through it. You understand?
Right.
You can't fall back with the person after he sees you drifting off and try to do a romance thing and you feel like, okay, he's with me now, such and such. And 3 weeks later, they go back to doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because that's what gets you caught up. You understand? Which that will also get you confused.
And trust and believe, it does. It hurts like hell. Mine was 2 years, you know. And I didn't want to see it, even though I knew it. It was written all in black and white. But I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to admit that it wasn't for, you know, it wasn't going to get any better.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, had I just, you know, not let my guard down, it wouldn't have never went that far. And it took a toll on me, but, you know, like I said, I'm back in stride again now, you know, and I got to live for Tammy. I can't live for that other person, knowing that you don't really give a damn about me, you know?
Right.
And like I say, you know, 6 months, that's newly, and, you know, him being locked up and everything like that, and you was there for him, you know, it's just showing that, hey, I'm out now. I don't need you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like. Basically, I don't need you now because I'm out, you know, and I'm going to do the damn thing, and I'm going to do what I want to do with who I want to do it with.
Now, Melinda, do you love yourself?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now when you love yourself, okay, you can't let nobody else come in between that love that you have for yourself.
Right.
It's true.
You understand? Because you're letting them build a destroy a bond that you have with yourself because you're doing so much for this person that's making you miserable.
You're right.
It's making you miserable inside. And if you love yourself, you should not be miserable like that for trying to help somebody out that's going to treat you in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. And at one point, I can honestly say I was extremely happy with the situation, but now it's horrible.
Yeah, because, you know, some people at first, you don't know who they are. So they're going to do what they can do to get you.
Yeah.
You understand? They're going to do whatever they can do to get you. And once they feel they have you locked, then you're going to see the real person that comes out.
Yeah.
You understand? That's how they do it. Then you see the real person that comes out. That's what they're really about. You understand? Now, it's up to you to decide whether you want to deal with that person or not deal with that person. Now, if you choose to deal and stay with that person, then whatever happens falls on you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, why good girls like bad guys?
Mr. Wrong, baby. Mr. Wrong.
Yeah, you know.
Mary Jane, talk about Mr. Wrong.
It's a true mess. You know, some females like that thuggish guy or whatever. He don't got to be working, and she'll give him all her money. And 20 years down the line, 20 years later, she'll be like, oh, what I've been doing all this time. It took you that long to realize that?
Right.
You understand? But it's just that's just how it is. That's just how society is. That's just how life is. You understand? Other times, do the same thing with females. We deal with the female, knowing she treats us messed up. It could be the power of you. You understand? It could be, you know, who knows what it could be. It could be the kids. It could be anything. But everybody get caught up in that situation.
And Melinda, please don't do what I did. I locked myself out from all the people that I knew was there for me. I mean, I really didn't care. You know, I wouldn't talk to nobody about it. I mean, I spoke with them about it, but I just felt like that I could make it better, you know, that it was going to get better. And all along, you know, it was getting worse. It was getting worse instead of better. And I shut myself down to my family, my loved ones, people that was there for me, that's been there for me all the time. You know, I mean, I honestly shut myself down for a few months. You know, and these people were still there for me, calling me, being there for me, you know, visiting me, and I was still just, I was too naive. I didn't want to face the fact. I didn't want to face it.
Yeah, I did that for 4 years in my last relationship. I won't do that again.
Okay.
I have a question. Question is that, I mean, I know as a woman, that a woman is very spiritual, especially you have a lot of tolerance. You mentioned something that this guy, you waste a lot of time and energy in this guy. So I just like to know, you're not happy, so what is it that you're holding on to, or what is it that you see in it that you're holding on to? It has to be something that you see, and maybe you can change, but then again, he's just not getting it. So what is the good thing that you see in this man that's making him stay?
Oh, because when we first got together, it was, I don't know, it was like, it was great. Like, we were together all the time. We talked, we spent time together, we did things together. Like, he's the first person in a so long that's made me laugh that I could just be myself around and just let go. And then just all of a sudden, like, we stopped spending, like, more time. Like, it got less and less time, and
the
phone calls less, and I don't know.
The first person that made you laugh, you said you were in a relationship for 4 years, so how did that turn out? Did this guy make you laugh? I mean,
in my last relationship?
Yeah, I mean, was it kind of, like, better than...
No, my last relationship was hell from the beginning, and I don't know why I stayed for the 4 years that I stayed.
Because you were content.
I was comfortable.
You were content with whatever the case was. And like I say, I can really, really just get into what you're saying because I just went through it myself. And it's not easy. You know, but with it being 6 months, with it being, you know, such short time, baby, if you can get out of it and be okay with it, do it. Because if it's not working now, to me, it's only going to get worse. That's
right.
What happened in my situation. It's not going to get better. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but if he's doing all of this and all of that now, you know, and everything is falling less because that's the way mine was. The first, the phone calls, the visits, oh, we did this, we did that. Now it was then it got to the point like, well, let's do this together. Well, I got to do that. I got to do this with the family. I got to do that, you know. And I didn't want to accept it. But like I said, it's only going to get worse if you let it. If you allow it, it's going to get worse.
Right.
But now, you said you're not in love with him, right?
No.
You're not in love, but you do
love him. Right. I love him as a person. But I'm not in love. I think I started to fall in love for a minute, but then when things started going left,
I'm going to be truthful with you. You could say you're not in love with him, but it's a part of you that is in love with him, else you wouldn't be feeling the way you're feeling.
Exactly.
Probably
so
right.
It's a part of you that is in love with him. You know, it might be a little part, you know, out of everything that's happened, or you might be falling apart and like a slightly, how can I say it? Mm-hmm. But if you're sitting there and you're starving and you're not eating and you're not socializing, and when you're going out and you're trying to urge yourself to, like, have fun because you're mm-hmm. constantly thinking about the situation, that means you are in love with the person.
Yeah.
You know,
amen,
okay,
to that one. Amen to that one.
So
you're
you can
right.
say you're not, but deep down, you really are. So
you're
mainly,
probably right.
mainly from what I'm hearing from you, you mainly want him to come across to be there in a relationship thing, which that's not what he wants. I'm going to keep it
right.
with you. That's not what
right.
that man wants. He's out of jail now. You was there for him in jail. Okay, yeah, so your thing is I was there for him in jail. I stuck by his side. I put money in his commissary. I did this.
No.
I did that. So when he come out, no, I'm just talking to general. When he come out, okay,
no.
It's going to work
I
out.
I wasn't there when he was in jail. I met him when he came out of jail.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
That's even worse.
Oh, Lord.
But wait, in my defense,
you know
I didn't
what?
Know.
Look, you wanted the sidelines. I hate to say it, but you wanted the sidelines.
In my
when
defense,
you get done,
Melinda,
I didn't go
know.
To the next.
Melinda. All right, I'm don't get me wrong. Some dudes that come out of jail, I ain't going to say they, you know, get down like that. But depending on how long this man was
exactly.
in there, and if he come out and he feel like he got that swag as long as he was been there, he going to try to knock everything in sight.
He didn't have that. From one door to the other one.
He didn't have that swag when he came home. I got him that swag. When he came
okay.
home, he
put
some dumbass
up right there.
Okay, so that make it even worse because he came home and you taught him the swag. Oh,
yeah.
How to do the female thing. You understand? So what he did was he used you. Because I only been together 6 months. So
mm-hmm.
when he got out, he did some heavy things to you because you really feel for him. And I know it ain't nothing wrong with that. Because, actually, you know, everybody has feelings. Feelings is uncontrollable. Some
mm-hmm.
feelings are very uncontrollable. You understand? And if you feel for a person, then that's how it's going to be. But if that person don't feel the same way about you, it's not going to work. If he's coming around once in a blue, or just coming to get a little something here and there, you're just somebody on the side. It's not going to work.
That's true.
And I'm not telling you nothing, you know, like to try to hurt your feelings or sound like a preacher.
No.
I'm being truthful with you, you know, let you know.
It doesn't hurt my feelings. Like, I understand that completely. My thing is, I told him from the beginning, be honest with me about what it is because I'm a woman, I can handle it. If it's just a creep thing, let me know.
If it's an open relationship, let it be known from the door.
Exactly. Don't keep telling me.
If you feel like you got to do Christy, Susie, Cheryl.
Let me explain something
right.
to you. Let me explain something to y'all females about a man. Okay? If I want my cake and I can eat it too,
you're going to do
I
it.
Know if I tell you, okay, well, yeah, I want to open a relationship, such and such, and I'm just coming from jail, I know you're going to do what you could do for me, and I know I put it on you. First of all, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. Just like I'm going to go tell the next female what they want to hear. But I'm going to just keep you in that rotation as being number one female. But it's going to be number two, and it's going to be number three, and it's going to be number four. But I'm still going to keep you in rotation as that number one and let you know what you want to hear. Because the
and
way I feel, I already got you locked. So as long
yeah,
as I keep piping you
right,
as long as I keep piping you right, you're not going nowhere.
You're right about that.
You are right.
100%. You know, and like you said, they're going to always tell you what you want to hear. Yeah, you know you my baby.
But don't, like, okay, but if you're going to tell me that, be smart about your bullcrap. Don't do dumb stuff and get caught up in your own game. Because, like, and even though, like you said, there's going to be number one, I know that I'm that number one. But I'm not okay with there being a number two, a number three, a number four, because I told you from the beginning, tell me if that's what it is, and you swore that's not what it was.
Okay. Now, let me explain. A person, this older lady, God bless the dead, that was my man, Fish, that lived in Bronx, his mother. I mean, when I was like 15 years old, she told me something. and I never forgot. It was a phrase she said that she uses for certain couples, and it was said, only a bastard like me could love a bitch like you.
Wow. Wow.
You understand?
Wow. That's
meaning, I'm going to be that bastard. Like, in other words, you could be that bastard if you want to be that bastard, but I'm going to be that bitch. You understand? That's what she was trying to say in a phrase, you know, to let you understand the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It was a long time ago. I remember the phrase, but the way she broke it down was like real, real deep. You understand? It made you understand. And that's what it seemed like. See, because right now he's being a bastard. You understand? So he could be telling everybody, you know, excuse my friends, talking in general. All right, Melinda? He could be telling everybody, yeah, that's my little bitch on the side or such and such. That's the way the phrase come in, only a bastard like me could love a bitch like you. Not meaning it in a harsh way. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. We have another call on the line. We're going to bring that call in right now, okay? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Did you have a topic for this evening?
I'm a little familiar with it, about the lion, you know. If you could refresh me, I appreciate it.
All right. Melinda, go ahead. State your topic again.
If you're in a relationship and you're not getting the attention you feel you deserve from your significant other, do you start seeing other people?
Hell to the no. That shit ain't right. You don't do no bullshit like that. Hell no. I pull my bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bitch, you know, damn, you couldn't wait 2 weeks. You know what I'm going to get, you know? If you love somebody, right?
Go ahead.
3 days to decide to start messing around with somebody else. That means you really never loved nobody. You just fucking somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's understandable. That's understandable. But if you're in a committed relationship, let's say you're in a committed relationship, right? And a person, like I said before, because you just came on, like, said you and everything, and a person don't give you that, y'all don't have that communication, that trust, and nothing is going right. And y'all have that off and on relationship. But this specific time, you feeling nothing going right. All right? We're going to get technical. We're going to get to the point. All right? You want some booties. Right. They're not going to give you none. You want to talk. They're not going to talk. So now you go out with your boys or whatever, and you see a shorty that's giving you that rhythm. You understand?
Anyway,
shorty giving you that rhythm now.
You
like,
all right, hold on. Even it's time to move on, but you know, at the same time, you can spot shorty, you know, while you're with your homies and be like, damn, like, I'm missing the shot, my shorty. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it takes for your homies to take you around something, you start missing your home. So it can go either ways, you know. But me personally,
you're right,
I smash
that. That's why I said it's
down the line.
Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, see, exactly, see, but that's what I'm saying. Now, that's the point I was going to make. Now, shorty giving you rhythm, right? And you with your boy, like I said, you think about your shorty. But what's the first thing that's going to come to your mind when you think about your shorty? Oh, shit, well, she ain't giving me no ass. She's not talking to me. We have no communication. The first thing that comes to your mind is going to be like, it ain't going to be, all right, I'm going home to my shorty, I'm going to tap her, because you're not getting nothing. There's nothing going on there.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The thrill is gone.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. The thrill is definitely gone. So that's what I mean, in that topic is like an empty topic. So you could be like, I want to go to my shorty. Now, if I have that awkward, wrong relationship where it's not that serious, to where there's no communication, to where, like, y'all got to see me, where I got that relationship to where, okay, y'all could communicate after a situation and sit down and talk, that's something different. But if y'all don't have the communication where you can sit down and talk and everything, the person is going to step out because that other person is going to give them that vibe to make them feel, you know, all right, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just mean.
Yeah, you got a point. I mean, like I said, it depends on the individual a lot, too, and where your feelings are with that person, you know. But like you said, you know, if you're ready to just step out, it's time to get out of the relationship, period.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not working, let it go.
Yeah,
because,
you know, if you see somebody and you trying to make it work, and they're not trying to make it work, and you keep putting all of it, you're going to get drained out.
What about salt?
And it's, huh?
What about y'all? How y'all feel? Like, is y'all love? Like, do y'all got some loved ones that y'all feel that way about?
I tell you right now, my loved one, I'm marrying her.
I just went through it.
Huh? And me personally, I feel like at where I'm at now, I done did all that already. You understand? I done been there. I done all that already. So there's nothing else for me to prove. I got who I want.
Yeah,
I'm happy with it. We argue. We fight. But you know what? That comes with the relationship.
That comes
as long
with
as
the
you
territory.
Can work it out in the long run and be like, all right, boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
There's no need to step out. Now,
there
I feel like if I was treating her to a point where, all right, we're not communicating, we're not conversating, we're not seeing each other, and she step out, there's nothing I could do about that. You understand? Just like and vice versa. But if you with somebody, y'all have that understanding, that trust, and y'all have that bond, y'all both gonna do what y'all can do to make it work. It takes two to make it work. You can't put a positive and a negative. It got to be a positive and a positive. Like I always say, the only thing that works with a positive and a negative is a vehicle. That's the only thing that's running. Everything else ain't working. You understand what I mean?
I hear that.
I have another call on the line I want to go on. We're going to bring that call in right now. Hello, call.
Hi,
are you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
did you hear the topic for this evening?
Melinda. Sorry.
Melinda, could you say your topic one more time?
No, I heard
sure,
the topic.
Sure, if
you're she heard it. She heard it.
Okay.
My input is this. I think that as women, you know, I know there's some men online, but as women, we have to put ourselves first no matter what. And I think that sometimes as women, we don't put ourselves first. We tend to settle and stay in something that we know that at that moment is not making us happy. So it's either we could sit and keep trying and trying and praying on it and seeing if we can make it work, or you have to leave. So when you say, okay, it's been 6 months or whatever, and, you know, it was this, that, and the other in the beginning, and now it's like this, to me, if you sit that person down and you speak to that person and you let him know exactly what it is, like, listen, no bull, just straight up real talk. This is what I want. Can you give it to me? Because if you don't tell me you can give it to me, and you know you can't, because the first time I see you can't give it to me, I'm out. I'm not going to wait another 6 months. I'm not going to wait another year. You know what I'm saying? To see exactly where the relationship is going. Because 9 times out of 10, you already know where it's going.
Nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
yep.
And
yeah.
As far as being the number one and knowing you're number one, listen, girl, you're good. Because as soon as I find out that I'm not, that I'm number one, but there is number two, he's out the door. He's out the door because there's nothing that that second woman can do that that first woman can't, unless he wants his cake and eat it too. And there's nobody has time for that. I mean, come on. Everybody's getting older. Nobody has time to be playing games like that and catching diseases from X, Y, and Z. And nobody got time for that. Nobody, you know, to me. To me, nobody has time for it. So my opinion would be just sit them down. Let them know exactly what you want, how you feel, what it is, you know. And if he can't give you what you need, and you can tell, not for nothing, it's been 6 months, you can look at your man and tell when your man is lying to you. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You can look
at
him and tell whether it's a shrug of the shoulder, whether it's a wipe of the forehead, whether it's a smirk, whatever the case may be. You know when your man lying.
Mm-hmm. It's not even the lies that bother me.
Sorry about that. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
It's not the lies that bother me. It's the fact that you can look me in my face and expect me to believe the crap that's coming out of your mouth.
But you know what? But how does that make you feel? You know what I'm saying?
But you're playing on my intelligence.
Exactly. And I can't take that. Because I know I'm smart. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to play me for a sucker, I got a problem. You know, I got a serious problem with that. So, I mean, you know, you got to, it's to each his own. Whatever makes you comfortable, you know, whatever makes you happy at the end of the day. But as women, we have to learn that it might look good, the sex might be the bomb. But you know what?
Yeah.
If you're not the only one getting the sex that's the bomb, what good is it to you?
Right.
You know,
that's true.
You want to be the only one, you know, excuse my language, getting dick down and stuff like that. You don't want the next chick getting what you're getting. Because if she's getting it, then why, you know what I'm saying? What sense does that make? So I wouldn't say leave him. I would say sit him down and talk to him and let him know exactly how you feel and how you've been feeling. And, see what I get you. If I don't get you nowhere, then
yeah,
I'm not one that's going to say, okay, well, cheat with that, you know, cheat on that person. I'm going to say try and work it out with the person. If you see that after that conversation that you had is not working, then, yeah, then you have to reevaluate the situation, you know, and see. Heck, you 40 with no kids, girl, you better do your thing.
I know that's right. Tell that mother to kick rocks. Tell
you
to kick rocks tonight.
Look,
you can go and come too when you please.
Yes.
Look, I seen the picture. You better do your thing, girl.
Listen, it'll be your luck to get pregnant by this clown.
What? What are you talking about? Y'all know what? You know what? Y'all see my woman see me fucked up every time y'all come over the line.
It's the truth, but
I mean, just because it's not working, it would. It'd be her luck to mess around and get knocked up by this clown, and then she would be in a fix.
Listen, if she says she's number one, but she know there's a number two, she better make him put 3 condoms and the female condom, okay?
You know it. Trust and believe.
You better make sure.
Absolutely. I've had the conversation with him before. It gets me nowhere. Like, I had the conversation, and then I stopped making myself so readily available to him. Like, I stopped answering his calls. I stopped texting, and then it got to a point where he was like, damn, I'm about to lose her. Let me step it up. And he stepped it up, and then when he stepped it up, I made myself available to him again, and then now he thinks he got it like that so he could just go and continue to do the stuff that he does, and I'm just at a point where I'm ready to go.
Do you all
Melinda, can I ask you something? Melinda, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for a relationship?
I am, but with the right person. Like, I've...
You said, wait. See, you pause for a minute.
All my relationships have been long-term. This is the first relationship that has ever been 6 months, and I'm, like, ready to go. Like, my shortest relationship was 4 years, and I'm just...
Let me ask you, because we're running out of time, what is it that you see in this person that makes you really want to be with him?
He's just because when it's good, it's good.
Exactly.
Because what? You said the Johnson.
I want this business all
he's
out there like that.
I'm talking to Melinda. Can y'all give me a minute? Because I really want to hear this from her.
I don't want to put his business all out there like that. But when it's good, it's good. Like, he's caring, he's loving, he's great.
You're a friend with benefits. That's what you are.
Yeah, no, really, it's true. But the thing is, I told him in the beginning, if that's what it's going to be, tell me, don't act like it's something different. And he's, oh, no, baby, blah, 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 blah. Like, come on now. Really?
Just be real
about your bull crap. Like,
but you know what?
You know, but that's what I mean by, you know, he's probably like, right now, I'm not going to say he's filling his oats, but right now he's out. He's been locked up. He's out right now. You know, not saying he won't settle down with you, but at this moment, he's like, he want to do him right now, but he still wants you there. You understand?
Right. But,
I don't know
it's
if that's
gonna
a bad or good thing, but like I said, if he just came home, he's doing what he got to do, and he wants you there.
But it's the point, I'm at the point where I no longer want to be there. Like, I'm ready, like, it's, shit, tell me if it's friends with benefits. I'm okay with that. I'm grown.
Well, you know what? You got to make that decision. You can't wait for him to do it.
He's not going to tell you that.
And the reason he's not going to tell you is because, one, even when he came home, you helped him with that swag. You know what I'm saying? You helped him. So, therefore, what you did was you upgraded him for somebody else's benefits. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yes, he might be a good benefit for you sometimes. Like you said, when it's good, it's good. But guess what? If when it's good, it's good for you, it might be good and good for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So you got to, you know, don't wait for somebody to tell you, okay, you know what? Oh, I'm with somebody else. Oh, I might be with this person. No, men show signs. and you 40, so you've been around. You know the game. Men show signs, and when your man starts to show those signs, guess what? It's time to say deuces and see you later.
There you go. Don't get caught up in it, baby. And like I said, it's fresh, too, now. And like the caller was saying, don't wait another 6 months for it to really just get, you know, to the point that you really can't take it. You know, and then you all, you know, down and out, please don't go there. Like I said, I'll tell any woman, if you can get out of it, it's going to hurt. But, honey, I'd rather be hurt and content than to go through the bullshit because it's not worth it. You know.
Oh, you're right. And I'm going to be okay. I already know that.
Oh, okay.
I just really, really wanted to know, like, what is it worth it? Like, should I try to work it out? Should I just, at this point, just walk away? Like,
not if you got constantly been talking
to what's best for you.
You got to follow your heart. That's one thing that you got to follow your heart. I mean, we're giving you our input, you know, our feedback on it. But at the end of the day, you got to sit back and you got to follow your heart. Whatever your heart tells you, and don't think about when it's good is good because somebody else can give it to you just as good. So don't think about that
part. Not better. If not better,
you're right.
Follow your heart. You know, you got to follow your heart. When you sit and you're like, Tim, you know, what am I doing? Come on, I'm still going to stay 40 and no kids. You better do your thing, girl.
Hey, it's a lot of women would love to be in your shoes, 40 and no kids.
I'm telling you, 40. I just turned 40 in June, and I feel like I am just reaching my life. Like, I'm there, right?
Hey, you at your peak. You better do the damn thing.
Yes. Yes, and I don't want to waste any more time.
Well, hey, that they're like, again, they're lies. You got to make that decision. You got to be happy with whatever you decide to do, whether you stay or go, you know.
Yeah, because ain't nobody going to feel it but you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a decision you really have to make upon yourself.
But it was a damn good topic.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
Melissa, what's your final thought on topic?
Oh, God. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not unfaithful. I don't cheat. I'm not that type of person. Like, I would never just step out on the relationship. But like I said, I've brought it to this person numerous times. So at this point, I think it's time for me to just move on and do me.
So, you know, when you make a statement like that, you really have to stick to it.
Oh, yeah, it's time to say deuces. I got to go.
And be happy, honey. Whatever you decide to do, just be happy.
And that's what I want, and that's why it's time for me to go. Because if I stay, I'm not going to be happy. Like I said, it's gotten to a point where I'm no longer happy, and when it comes, like, I love me too much to be miserable all the time.
Right.
Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Me?
Yeah.
Sure, I'd like to shout out Quick, a.k.a. City. I'd like to shout out Kid Boss, Deborah Washburn, and my family.
Okay. You know, I really want to thank you for joining us. You're welcome anytime. Welcome back anytime.
All right. Thank you. It was fun.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Melinda Moore, Dons and Divas. Coming up next. Up-and-coming R&B sensation, Catherine F. Hoxie. So stay right there and don't move. We're going to be playing her smashing single, Screaming to Be Free, find out what's her next step in the music industry, and talk a little more. She's also doing acting. So stay right there. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
DJ hit.
Well, coming back with a flow on top of the positive, the vibe of the demand. Where the fellas at? Ladies, represent, evident, they don't understand. Oh, sure, y'all to the edges like a manicure. Burberry, West Christian, Dior. God bought it, but put it on sale, baby doll. Even when I rock the
left, I rocked it right. Rocked in my watch, got lost. I rocked it twice. Love who I am to the bitch. Look in the life, definitely ladylike. I rocked it right.
Let it go.
I know one of them got over 52,000 viewers, and we're going to talk about that. you know, so I know you're doing a lot of things. Now, let me ask you, what made you decide to want to be a singer?
Well, I've always sang. I've sang my whole life from when I started to talk. I turned everything into a song, into a commercial, a videotape to me from when I was a baby. It was just in me. It's always been part of who I am. So.
Okay. Now, your name.
Yeah.
Catherine F. Hoxton, a.k.a.
Yes.
K.F. Hox.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, yeah, that's right.
Now, what made you just, like, cut your government name short for the stage name? How did you come up with that concept?
Well, I was inspired by a few different things, actually, and there's really no one single explanation for it, but if you break it down, it's KFH are my initials for my, you know, Catherine F. Hoxton, and then OX was for hugs and kisses. It was always kind of an affectionate thing, so I would always just sign things KFH and then leave a space and do OX as hugs and kisses. And then as I, you know, started to go out and perform more, the more people saw the whole thing all together, everyone started calling me K-Fox. And my nickname in high school was always Foxy Hoxy and this and that. And the woman that helped raise me, her mother, who I refer to as Nanny, went by Kay. And so for me, using that, you know, using that name, using that letter to represent who I was a nod to her as well. She was always standing behind me as a dancer, as a singer, as an artist. And it really is just a nod to her as well. Because her name was Kay. So it's a few different things that play into it, but also it was just easier than trying to get everybody to remember my full name. You know, you're at places, you're trying to get people to remember stuff really quickly and tell people, Catherine F. Hoxton, Catherine F. Hoxton, Catherine F. It was just easier for them to remember five letters. So it was, so there you go, Kay Fox, but most people and a lot of my friends just call me Kay Fox.
Oh, okay, well, that explains that.
There
you go. All right, well, we don't usually take callers this early, but you have our phone lines lit up, so we're going to take at least two callers right now, and we're going to bring them in because they want to talk to you. All right?
Okay, that sounds good. Sure.
Okay. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
You have Catherine on the line.
Hey, what's up, Catherine? I've never really talked on a radio show before, so please excuse me if I sound if I get, you know.
It's all right. We didn't have to.
Okay, so basically my name is Quincy Ferdinand, yeah, what's up, Foxy? How you doing?
That's nice. Thanks for calling in.
I've been friends with Foxy since about last year when she first did the Bruckner session. And this is a story that I have from Catherine that I just really wanted to share for everyone out there to get more of an idea of who she is and how great she is. There was a rehearsal for the Bruckner session, and Catherine was very, very sick. She had about the flu. She's very congested, and she was very not 100% at all. And we were there at the rehearsal for the show about two nights or the next night, and she had to just do it so the band could really, you know, understand where the flow of the song was going. And she blew so amazingly with this, the weight of the sickness on her chest. Like, she just sang through it as if it was nothing. And even the parts where she had to pull back because she couldn't open up, she still, you know, put herself into it. Just to show the dedication and how deep she is. She's very, very beautiful. Catherine, I love you. I follow you on Facebook all the time. I'm a great fan, and we'll always be friends. And I just wanted to stop in and say that because I caught this on Facebook just now. So I just wanted to call in and say that.
That's love right there.
So much.
You don't sound
nervous.
You sound
bad.
Like you got everything down pat. I'm about to sit back now and let you take over.
Thank you so much for calling in. Man.
No doubt. We don't really get to talk much, so just so you know, I wanted to get it all in one shot. I know you got to play a track. But much love, Foxy. I love you very, very much. Your music is so incredible, and I'm so happy that they're going to be able to hear it right now on this station, and that your career is going where it's going. I'm supporting you 1,000%, and yeah, about it.
And please know that I do support you too. And Quincy's actually the founding and producing artistic director of Unity Siege Company. Is that right?
Yeah, that actually got put up on my Facebook by accident, but I don't know how that is. But yeah, that's what it says.
It is what it says. All right. I just want to give you your props so that people know how to find you and support you as well.
Just look me up, Quincy Ferdinand, on Facebook. I'm a mixed martial arts fighter, but it's not about me right now. Just so you know, it's about you very much so.
I'm sorry for taking over your show. I can't really hear you guys too well, but there's never a time limit when a guest wants to speak to an artist.
Right
on my show. You know, say what you gotta say, we let you say everything you gotta say and get it out.
Oh, right on. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I really appreciate you sharing that, and thank you for all of your love and your support, and please know I give it back 100%. Just thank you
so much. I know, I see you there at the shows, and Catherine, that's another thing real quick. Catherine is always supporting her people and other fellow artists that she sees up and coming. She's just got a very warm and a very warm personality, because meeting her as well, like, I didn't really know her when I first met her. I did a song at the Bruckner. I said, I'm a fighter. I don't sing. But I did. I sang a song at the Bruckner. And Catherine was one of the two people who actually hit me up the next day and was like, I did a great job. And that made me feel okay about how terrible I sounded. So,
you did not sound terrible. Stop it.
Oh, man.
Good luck. Bless you, Catherine. I love your music, and you're awesome. You're very, very sweet. And just have a, just shine. You're a star. You're a spirit, and your soul is just all in your music. And they're gonna hear you. They're gonna see you regardless. So I'm just very excited, and I'm glad I got to call in and just say a couple things about you.
You are a blessing. Thank you so much.
All right. I'm going to let you guys get back, because I feel like I took over the show or whatever, and you guys have a great night. Facebook as usual, I'll see you on social media.
I definitely see you there.
All right, guys.
Have
a good night, y'all. God bless. We have another caller. We're going to bring in real fast.
Okay.
Hello, caller?
Hello?
Yes.
How you doing? K-Fox?
Yeah.
Hey, K-Fox. It's your boy Danny Calico, MXM Music.
Hey! Oh, nice!
What's good with you?
I'm chilling. I'm blessed. Thank you.
No doubt. Just wanted to call in and support.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
this is
your boy Danny Calico of the MXM Umbrella Corporation. I met K Fox at Mad Wednesdays with Maria Davis, and every time she's ever touched that stage, I've just been in awe. So I just wanted to call in, let her know we support and love her. Anything she does, I'm behind her 100%.
All right.
And I'll be part of Danny's show coming up on August 18th at Undisputed 38 Main Street in Yonkers, two blocks up from Metro North.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to that show. Thank you so much for calling in.
No doubt. It's all love.
Definitely. Thank you so much. I'll see you August 18th, and I might see you before then. God knows. But appreciate the love and support, and know that you got it back from me as well.
No doubt, homegirl. Keep doing your thing.
Amen. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. Come back.
Okay, Catherine, let me ask you.
Yeah.
You say, and I quote, "Believing in the power of music as a way to provide the world with peace, tranquility, and hope." Elaborate us on that.
Yes. Well, it's something that it's always been part of me. Music was a big part of my survival growing up. My mom is a manic depressive, and my father is a sometimes recovering alcoholic. And music was my escape. Music always let me know that I wasn't alone, that the things I was going through, that it wasn't just me. And my parents were about to lose their house this year, so I had to go to Rhode Island and clean some stuff out of their house, get some stuff that I had left there for a long time. And I found these things from this youth-to-youth conference that I had sang at back when I was about, I'd say, 11 years old or so. And there were these notes called Warm Fuzzies, these notes that the kids left at the youth-to-youth conference that were just nice they're called warm fuzzies because they're just nice things to say to people, to share positive, you know, thoughts and comments to one another. And I came across all these warm fuzzies that people had left for me at this conference. And I remember I had sang Leaving on a Jet Plane. And and all these kids had written me these notes saying, thank you so much for sharing, you know, for singing for us. And your music really inspired us and really made us feel better. And there was this one note from this boy whose brother had committed suicide. And
wow.
He was thanking me for singing and asked that I sing a particular song for his brother in his memory, and that and
wow.
how much my singing had inspired him and had made him feel like he was left alone. And coming across that this year, you know, and not forgetting about it completely, but, you know, you live your life and you tend to forget parts of your journey. And coming across
mm-hmm.
that reaffirmed everything that I am doing, and it reaffirmed that I have always, this has always been me. This has always been inside of me, and I thank God for the gift to be able to do what I do, and I thank God for perspective and the acknowledgement of how important it is what I'm doing, and not taking that for granted or, you know, not realizing the opportunity that's there to instill hope in people and to let people know that they are not alone, and you know, just provide that for other people as it was provided for me my whole life.
Okay, okay. Wow, that's something real serious, you know, especially putting the cord back to you and also, you know. Now, you already have your first EP entitled Light Shines Through Me, and it's on iTunes and Amazon.com. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Last year, last April, I raised $5,155 through Kickstarter in 32 days. Through the kindness and generosity of 74 people, I collected the money to pay for the tracks and the studio time and put together everything to put the EP together. I had been writing for about 15 years, but I had no real body of work to speak of. So we built the tracks, all of the tracks from the ground up. I wrote the songs as we were building the tracks. I executive produced all of the tracks. And while this was going on, I had my apartment got broken into while we were recording Back With You, the first song on there, my firstborn. And it ended up being that I was, you know, really scared to go back to my house and all these things. And to make a long story short, it spiraled into a series of events that ended up me living out of my car for about 4 months to make sure that the EP came out on time. I had scheduled the EP release party for 11/11/11, and you couldn't tell me that it wasn't going to happen. I wasn't changing the date. I was, you know, I was determined to make it happen. So I lived out of my car, crashed on couches, and did what I had to do to make sure that the CD got packaged and put together on time, and it sure enough did. By the grace of God, I, you know, put everything out. It was an amazing turnout. We had it at Remedies in the Bronx, and most of the producers that were on there were there that night. My family came from Rhode Island, my parents, my nieces, the woman that helped raise me came all the way from Florida, and it was one of the most amazing nights of my life. It felt like my wedding. It felt like my wedding night. It was the most amazing feeling in the world, and there was so much love in that room. I had about 15 artists perform and about 10 sponsors, so it was supporting local businesses and local artists, and all of that worked together to help promote the event and to help promote one another and to help create
mm-hmm.
business for an exposure for the artist. So it was beautiful. It was great.
Wow. Now... Who would you say is the biggest inspiration in the music industry?
Wow, the biggest. That's really hard. Because even as it stands, my music doesn't even reside in one genre. But I will say that one of the first songs that I remember singing and that I grew up listening to her music and went to her concerts and everything was One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. And her voice and her spirit was just so anointed, and you know, she didn't write her music, but she had a way of singing her music like no one else can or could or really will ever again. She's huge. And, I mean, I could only pray to be half artist that she was. May she rest in peace. And she's amazing. But another big one for me, especially particularly for the genre of music that I'm putting out, is Amy Winehouse. May she also rest in peace. And actually this Monday I just did a tribute show on the one-year anniversary of Amy Winehouse's death at Funkadelic Studios in Midtown. They hosted the event, and we did about an hour and a half set to raise money for a child's song out in Colorado and pay tribute to my musical muse, Amy Winehouse. She's big for me.
Wow.
She's big.
Well, what I want to do right now, I want to get into your first single titled
cool.
Back With You. Tell us a little bit about that.
All right. Well, everything I do has a story, I guess. So one of the main things that I share about this song is that I was living in Florida for about 5.5 years. I was in an abusive relationship for about 3.5 years of that. He's a great guy. I never want to talk down about him. He really is a tremendous human being, but we were both going through some things, drugs and alcohol, and we were young, and it was a really physically abusive relationship, mentally abusive, and this song was all about that, just about that being captivated by this person, but at the same time it being a really unhealthy situation, and as many times as you try to get out of it, you keep going back to it. And
mm-hmm.
So I just pray that this message instills a message that it's okay to stop going back. And we're working on the video for it very soon, so that concept will be very well played out in the video. So it's my firstborn. I hold it very close and dear to my heart. And shout out to Invaders Music Group and Breaking, who did the drum track. Brian Long, who's on the guitar solo, and Neville LaGreen, who does the bass line on it. It's a great song. One of my favorites.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, this is Captain F. Hoxie. Remember, Captain F. Hoxie, back with you. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Ray King.
Please, quiet down.
I'd like to introduce to you,
watch your step, man.
The beautiful, amazing, and talented KF.
Your time and your style, hurting love, making pain, rose with the sun.
Gotta love the built-in applause, right? Just pat myself
now,
on that.
I was there when you performed that song, right, the other day.
Yeah, yep. That was one of them, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You are a good performer, too. You're a good entertainer.
Thank you.
You had them in there dancing, clapping,
yeah.
Cheering. Now, let me ask you. You're also an actress.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Well, acting is something that's definitely been kind of put on the back burner, but I used acting as a networking tool for myself. I did a lot of background work on, like, Boardwalk Empire, How to Make It in America, Law & Order, SVU, Nurse Jackie. I'm in Mr. Popper's Penguins with Jim Carrey and Angela Lansbury during the Guggenheim Gala. But I really used it as a networking tool for myself. I actually, I'm also in Kanye West's video for Monster, which never got released on MTV or BET or anything, but it's officially released through Kanye West. And I'm in the video for Ryan Leslie, featuring Fabulous' video, Beautiful Liar. So my acting really just kind of came as, like I said, it was a networking tool for me. It's not my first love, but it's definitely part of who I am. And I think that as a performer, being on stage, I get taken in by my music. And I'm sure if you see me perform live, you kind of get the gist of, I go somewhere else when I'm on stage. And I, especially when I sing songs like Back With You, I really go back to that place. But it's about embracing that feeling and that emotion. Back in high school, I did some theater. I was in, like, Go Ask Alice and Once Upon a Mattress and did some acting there. But most of my training has been with music. Most of my formal training has been, you know, vocal training. And I was actually a drummer. I started drumming when I was in about fifth grade. I was in concert band, jazz band, marching band. I was the girl with big bass drum and marching bands in high school. And I've always just been, I'm a visual artist. I've got some work hanging up at CME Studio in the Bronx. I enjoy the art. I think that most artists are artists on a lot of different levels. And so I think that acting is kind of a natural progression for me, just as another means of expressing myself.
Okay. Now, what are the most important qualities actors should have?
As an actress, I definitely just think that tapping into that emotion, because just like music, acting provides another outlet and another means to allow people to know that they are not alone. So really tapping into those emotions and being true to those emotions that we feel as we play different characters and take on different roles. Being true, if you're playing a specific character, being true to that role, being true to that character, and just like anything, having discipline and working on your technique so that you can really, you know, put your best foot forward and put your, just to shine, let your light shine through you. That's a huge part of who I am. So just being true to yourself and letting the integrity of your work shine through everything.
Okay, well, you have a caller for you. We're going to bring that caller on right now.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have Catherine on the line?
Yes, how are you doing, love?
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing well, First of all, I have to say that your music is great. I love your music. Everything, it's a blessing, you know? And though I can put you in a category. I can see you now on the stage with divas. We talk about people like India Reed, Jill Scott, Mary J. Blige. I can see you on the same stage singing with these women. This is where you are. Seriously.
Thank you.
You have, like, huge versatile. I mean, even the youth actually listen to that. You know what I mean? Talking about these guys with the hip-hop. They really pay attention to your song and the lyrics. You can catch them. Encapsulate people. I'm telling you, I will. That's what I have to say. God bless you. Good luck.
thank you so much for all of your kind words and for speaking that blessing on my behalf. I really appreciate it, and for your support. And I just pray that my music continues to be a blessing in your life. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'll see you on VH1 Divas.
That sounds good. I'll meet you there. Thank you.
We have another caller. We're going to bring him on right now.
Wow.
Hello. Caller, wow. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
How are you doing? I'm doing good, thanks. I just want to say that your music is, you know, it's on point.
Thank you.
Are you, have you been in any plays or anything like that?
Any plays?
Yeah, you know, like maybe with.
Oh, the phone broke up when you said whatever you said. I'm so sorry. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing what you said.
No. That's one of my favorite points, just to ask if it. You know what? I just excuse that question, but keep up the good work that you're doing with your music, and I know that you'll go far.
It's a good question. It's a good question. You know, that's what a lot, because if you think about it, a lot of artists, they go into movies.
Yeah.
The majority of them after singing, they go into an acting career.
Well, my question was, are you planning on being in any plays or anything like that?
Oh, in any plays. I thought you said praise. I'm sorry.
No, plays.
I got you. At the moment, my biggest focus right now is to create a full-length album.
Okay.
And that's really what I'm working on, but I definitely have my heart, mind, ears, and eyes open at all times, and if the opportunity to be part of a play that really speaks to my heart and speaks to others becomes an opportunity, I would definitely be open to that, for sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, and like,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because the music is on point. So, like
you.
I said, keep God first, and I know that you'll be a big success.
Thank you. I really do appreciate your support. And I will I will definitely keep that in mind, and I just thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I promise you that I will always put God first. I promise you.
That's what's up. You made me have chills right there. Because without him, we know we can't get anywhere anyway. You know that.
I know that's right. I stand before you today as a living proof of that. So I definitely promise you that. If I can promise you anything in this world, it is that.
All right. And you like I am, because he first in my life, too.
Amen. That's how it should be.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. Thank
and
you so much. God bless
work.
You.
No
Thank
problem.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
And, you know, speaking of the fact that the caller just asked about plays, which leads me to ask you this before we play your next single, because you're an actress. If you had the chance to choose between singing and acting, which one would it be?
If I had to choose, if I was like held at gunpoint and someone was like, listen, you can only do one of these, it would have to be music. It would have to be. That's what really brings the joy in my heart. And, like I said, all of them are different outlets, to be able to express myself, but through song, I feel the most joy in my heart, and I feel that I'm best able to express myself because I write all my own songs. So it really is, I'm singing my own heart and my own soul and my spirit in that music. So for me, just right now, I'd have to say music would win.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I want to do right now, I want to get into your single that's hitting them hard. And this is the first single I heard when you performed, Screaming to Be Free. Tell us about that single.
Screaming to Be Free, it's produced by G.I. Joe out of D-Town Studios. He's with G-Class Productions. GI actually stands for God Inspired. When we went into the studio to work on this song, we started with a completely different sounding song. Like it sounded like straight gospel. Like it was a lot of organ. It was great. And so we got to the studio after a couple weeks working together, and actually we built the track from the ground up. And I walk in there one day, and he's playing a track, he's kind of building it. He looks at me, he said, "Listen, this is a great song. I have no doubt this is a great song," he said, but I don't make songs. I make hits." So he trashed the whole thing. I was like, "Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do." So he trashed the whole thing, and we started over. And man, it took me a while to write the song. I kept writing it and writing it. In fact, I got on my BlackBerry. If you go into my BlackBerry, there's about 18, no, more than that, maybe 25 versions of Screaming to Be Free in my phone. And I kept writing it and writing it and writing it until I wrote it. And because I would go in and I'd sing it to him, he'd be like, "No, that's good, but no, no." And he just kept pushing me to write the hit. And that's exactly what it ended up being. And the video for it was done by Rodolfo Duran of DoneRightDigital.com. He's been an amazing blessing in my life. Shout out to Rodolfo and to Shala Hollis, who was a production assistant on that. But the people that are in that video are really testimonies of inspiration themselves. Destiny Arroyo, who appears in the video, also does the background vocals. She's a 17-year-old girl out of South Bronx, amazing talent. She's amazing. Definitely look for big things with her coming up. But she became someone that I started to mentor as we went through this process. Natalie Enriquez, who I met through acting, she's in it. She and her sister started this company called Start Loving Life, and they were actually one of the sponsors for my EP release party. So they're a big part of my dream. And Tanya Burrell of Miss Tanya's Sinful Catering and Sinful Delight. Sorry if I'm messing that up a little bit, but Miss Tanya Burrell, she's actually in the video. There's cupcakes that say Screaming to Be Free. She designed the cupcakes. She's in the video. She was one of my sponsors for the EP release party. She donated 100 cupcakes and just a lot of her effort and time and energy and love and prayers. Dan Winchester is in there. He's got cerebral palsy. His parents are Holocaust survivors. And Alicia Mack, who I met on the set of Blue Bloods one day through acting, she's in it. She's a fit model now. She's out living her dream. The people who are in the video are out all living their dreams, and I feel blessed and inspired by the fact that they are in the video and that I'm able to expose them and what they do. But it's a great song, it's a great video, it's a great message, and I really feel like it's not the exact sound that I wanted for myself, and I've always acknowledged that. And we're working actually on a reggae version of it, but it is a great window for the door that I intend to run through. If you'll, kind of stay with me on that page. But I love the song. I love the message. I love G.I. Joe. Joe Smart has been an amazing blessing in my life. He worked on Chrisette Michelle's debut album. He's a part of some really majorly, majorly huge things that are just out of this world, and I think it's literally by the grace of God that I got to work with him at D-Town Studios on Park Avenue in Manhattan. Like, it blows my mind when I even think about the experience, and I continue to be blessed by that experience, and I continue to be in awe of how people receive this song, and I'm just tremendously grateful. So,
okay.
To be free.
All right. So we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's that single that's hitting the nation hard by Catherine. 52,000 views. Screaming to Be Free. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Alarming rate, but if you also look at the food that we're eating and the things we're subjecting ourselves
there's a direct correlation. And it's about educating ourselves on what will keep us healthy, about living healthy lifestyles, and something, you know, I post a lot of pictures. I work out almost every day. I post a lot of pictures from the gym about different things just because I want to inspire people. I want to motivate people. Go to the gym. Go take care of yourself. Go for a walk. Go get a checkup. Go eat the right food. Stop eating junk food. It's sound mind, sound body, sound sound. That's how I live my life. And I just encourage other people to do the same.
Okay. Now, you call your music soul hip-hop with lyrics
mm-hmm.
that allows the mainstream popularity. Elaborate.
Yeah. Okay. So my original music is a mashup of neo-soul, jazz, blues, gospel, hip-hop, and funk. So that's too many words. You know, people like to put you in a box immediately. And, you know, if you have to put me somewhere, you know, R&B is a pretty safe bubble for me. But I have incorporated a lot more hip-hop into my music, not only with collaborations, but also myself doing some of the rapping on some of my new music. And hip-hop is a huge part of who I am and the music that I love. So I call it soul hip-hop, P-O-P. Just because the soul is obviously encompasses the neo-soul and the jazz and the blues and the live instrumentation that's part of what I do. And the hip is obviously the hip-hop and that driving bass line and the drums, the percussive nature of my music, which is, you know, pretty heavy on Scream It'll Be Free in particular. And then that pop, you know, people put such a stigma around the term pop. But all pop is short for is popularity. And it would be my major, major blessing and my honor to be considered pop because it would mean that my music is popular. And that's what I want. I want my music to be popular. I want it to be well-received by people of all different ages, races, creeds. I don't want it to discriminate against people that only like live music, people that only like hip-hop, people that only like what I don't want. Music is the only thing in our world that is universal. And that's what I want my music to be. I want it to be universal.
Okay. Well, what I want to do right now, because we're pressed for time, I want to get into one more of your singles, Over
right.
Now. Tell us about that single.
All right, Over Now is kind of a slept-on single. There's actually a music video for this song as well by David Perisky of davidperisky.com, a great up-and-coming videographer and very talented director. He actually has some other projects in the works that you should keep a look at. You can go to davidperisky.com to check him out. This track was produced by Bray King, who, after my apartment got broken into, we were at his apartment washing my sheets because after I got robbed, they threw everything all over my bed. And the police had told me to keep everything there so that they could dust for prints. So we were at his apartment in Brooklyn washing my sheets, and he started playing the piano. And I'm telling him, just keep playing that. And I told you, I've been writing for about 15 years. I went into my songbook and pulled out a verse that I had written back in 2007. And that was the first verse of this song, and I wrote the rest of the song that night. And I finished recording this song while I was living out of my car. So it was produced and engineered at a couple different studios because of how long it took to get done. It was produced at NBS Studios in Queens, which is now no more, and also at Seymour Studios in Queens, where some amazing gospel performers have recorded there. So shout out to Robert Brown, aka Twin, of Seymour Studios in Queens. And the track is Breaking, Sound Test Live is really his big project. So shout out to Bray. And this is Over Now. This is all about the denial you sometimes experience when a relationship is over and you just, you're in that denial that you try and go
okay.
through your day to day, but it's hard.
Okay. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another banger by Catherine. Over Now. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby, for sure.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
is halfway down my face, trying to remember the way your lips taste. I close my eyes, make it fade away. I hold my phone, thinking of words to say.
City life, city life.
Go to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Wake up in the morning and it's just the same. Jump from a sound sleep, screaming your name.
City lights, city lights. 8 million stories filled with pain and strife. City lights.
My day, this nagging feeling won't go away. Something inside me won't let me be. My heart won't accept this reality.
Guess it's really over now. I wish somebody showed me how to deal with my heart.
Bottom of my heart for having me. I just really appreciate the opportunity to share my music, the opportunity to share part of my story, my journey, my message. You are a major blessing, and I just really, really appreciate you from the bottom of my heart.
No problem at all. You know, you are welcome back here anytime. You start those new singles, send them to us. We're definitely going to get them played. Give everybody
that
information. Let them know all the information.
Cool. So KSHOX is where you can find all my music, iTunes, Amazon.com. I'm on Spotify. So you can add me on Spotify. Everything, if you literally Google KSHOX on your entire search, but if you want to find me on Facebook, it's Facebook.com/KSHOX, YouTube.com/KSHOX. Please go to YouTube. I've got live performances from all throughout New York City, the Bronx, Queens, just a lot of different places. And also Twitter. I always forget to plug my Twitter. Twitter.com/KSHOX. And I know Twitter is a huge social networking tool, and it's something I sleep on a lot. But KFOX, KSHOX. My name is Catherine Epoxy. If you want to become my friend on Facebook, I welcome your friendship, your fellowship. It's Facebook.com/HOX33, Fox 33, used to be my license plate. So, but just thank you again to you, to GQ Palace, to Lavina, to everyone that made this possible. Shout out to Bomb Baby Music and to DJ Psycho D, who also, you know, indirectly made this possible. I really just appreciate everyone that's been part of this journey, and I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for all your support.
And we thank you for even, you know, taking the time out to join us.
Definitely. My pleasure. Anytime.
Of course. Anytime, you're welcome back. You got the number.
All right. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate you. And I just, God bless everyone. I encourage everyone to tap into the greatness that God has instilled in you and work towards that relentlessly every day, because He wants great things for your life, for all of our lives.
All of our
lives. So thank you so much again. Have a great weekend.
You too, Captain. We're definitely going to keep in touch.
Definitely. Definitely.
All of our lives. Captain F. All right. Kathleen S. Hoxie, Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, my man Kano. He was here last time. If y'all remember his first mixtape, the Pill EP, he's back to talk about his second one, The Art of Storytelling. He's doing big things, and y'all going to hear about it. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. Let it rain. Let me talk to you. Come on.
Shout it at the microphone, Jeannie.
No, 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 no. Shout it, yeah, she
Welcome back to GQ Palace. And with me right now, I have Kano. Kano, welcome to the show.
I'm back. What's the business, Rich? How you feeling, bruh?
I can't call it. I might spoil it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on, Kano?
Grinding, man, you know what I'm saying? Promoting on this upcoming mixtape, you know what I'm saying? The Art of Storytelling, which is dropping August 10th, you know what I'm saying, on everywhere. Every other mixtape site you could think of is going to be out on that Pacific website, you know what I'm saying? Been busy grinding.
Now, you talked about your last mixtape, the Pill EP. Fill them in on that.
All right. When I did the last joint, you know what I'm saying, that was my 10th mixtape, the Pill EP. You know, I was basically explaining, you know what I'm saying, about some things that was going on in my life, you know what I'm saying, just to give them a glimpse of everything, you know what I'm saying. I gave them the good side, the bad side, and the ugly old, you know what I'm talking about. The Pill EP was like, basically, you take like an ecstasy pill, and you feel good 1 minute, then next thing you feel bad, then you feel depressed, and then it has all these different feelings into it, you know what I'm saying? So I just made y'all feel like the experience that I felt on the last project, you know what I'm saying? So the project, it basically turned out to be a great project because everybody understood it. They said it was deep. They understood the feeling and the essence of what I was bringing, you know what I'm saying? I was bringing back some hip-hop that people don't even express like that no more, you feel me?
Yeah, because you definitely take it to a whole other level, and that's what's good about it. Now, what's going to be different about this mixtape than the last one?
Basically, I'm getting more deeper into more experience, and they might have some stories that doesn't have anything to do with me, but it could be something that y'all could relate to, you know what I'm saying? I say this one is just basically about, it's more in-depth and, like the last one, you know what I'm saying? With this one, it's just more deeper, and y'all, some songs will make you laugh, some songs will make you cry, some songs will make you want to fight, some songs make you want to feel good about yourself, you know what I'm saying? This project is just on a whole another landscape, you know what I'm saying? I put up my all into this project, you know what I'm saying? I made sure this project was where it needs to be. It needs to be back to some real hip-hop. This mixtape needed to basically just be into the real essence of hip-hop, the real essence of rap, you know what I'm saying? Because I wanted just people to understand experience. I want people to understand more about and learn about me, you feel me?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the title of this new mixtape you got is called The Art of Storytelling. Now, what made you name it that specific title?
Basically, you know, I just wanted to tell a story, you know what I'm saying? Everybody don't tell stories no more, so I just basically wanted to come back and tell an actual story, you feel me? I just wanted to tell a factual story that has a meaning, you know what I'm saying, about my life, you know what I'm saying? People, like, can't tell an actual story that people can actually relate to no more. So, you know what I'm saying, I'm just the type of artist that came up with this title to actually bring some realness back to the game and bring some storytelling back to the game. So that's how I came about with the Art of Storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you definitely taking in there. Ain't no question about that. Now, what mainly are you looking for? Are you looking for something major, something independent? What mainly?
I'm looking for any possible opportunity. If they offering me something that is great, if it's a major situation, they offering me something great, I will take it. If it's indie wise and they financially right, I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? I just want the main thing I want from labels, anybody that want to mess with me, I want loyalty, I want realism, I don't want no fakeness, because I know this industry got a lot of dirty people, you know what I'm saying? It just needs to be something that's legit and something that's real. You feel me?
Okay, I definitely feel you on that one. Now, do you have the same producers from the last mixtape as on this one? Or did you mix it up?
It's all me. I produce every record.
Oh, you produce
everything. Yeah, like every project this project, you know what I'm saying, like the last one, I produce every track, written every track, you know what I'm saying? I just did it all, you know what I'm saying? I just want people to understand that I'm multi-talented. I I don't want to be the type of individual that do one thing and vice versa. I could do anything that I put my mind to it. You know what I'm saying? On my side hustle, you know, I even cut hair, so that's like my side hustle. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm multi-talented. I do it all.
So you just in all things.
Yeah, man, all genre. I could do anything. Anything I put my mind to it, you feel me? I could do it all.
Now, in one word, describe Kano.
Describe Young Kano, the real Young Kano me?
Yeah, one word.
Success.
Okay.
You know, reason why I say success is because I'm thinking big, I'm dreaming big, and I will be successful. Lord say the same. I dream to be the best that I can be and the best of my ability, because I'm not the type of individual that thinks less of myself. I think of confidence. I think of I ain't not cocky, but just basically confident in what I do, because I can be on that level because I do have a promising career. You know what I'm saying? So I dream to be successful. I dream to be famous. You know what I'm saying? I dream to be on that level like Eminem and Lil Wayne and all that, but at the same time, I'm not selling out, you know what I'm saying, of watered-down music just to get that fame. I want that success to be loved by reality, that people love what I do for me. Feel me?
I definitely put on that. And I'm honored because you actually gave us the exclusive of Kano's World, the first thing that's dropped. Tell us about that.
Kano's, oh man, I almost coughed in my spit.
Oh,
Kano's World. I almost coughed in my spit, man. Don't mind me, y'all, apologize. But Kano's World, man, it's just basically everybody. Let me get it right for y'all. Kano's World basically came about because everybody thinking I'm always serious about everything. You feel me? And I wanted to make a feel good record, but at the same time, I put a little funny into it, a little humor into it. So I just want people to understand that I'm not that type of person that's always serious, you know what I'm saying? I do have a fun side, you know what I'm saying? I also want to have fun. I want to give people what they want, you know what I'm saying? I want people to actually feel good, you know what I'm saying? I look at this check, you know what I'm saying? It's not just for me. It's for everybody thinking that they serious, but which they're not. They actually have a sense of humor, you feel me? So that's why I came about the track, you know what I'm saying? This also comes from experience, but also it comes from the fun side of me, you know what I'm saying? So I just want everybody, you know what I'm saying, when everybody hear this track, you know what I'm saying, I want them to actually feel where I'm coming from. I want them to basically love the track, you know what I'm saying? I put my all into the track, you know what I'm saying? I hope the quality of the track is good enough for y'all to actually hear it right, you know what I'm saying? Because I worked hard on this track, you know what I'm saying? It took me, I had to edit it and mix it up myself, you feel me? So, like, I'm like my own engineer too, so I have to mix and master my own tracks also. So I'm just hoping that y'all actually love it, man. I hope all my fans, all my supporters, that actually love it, man. I put my heart and soul to the Kano's World. I put my heart and soul to this new project. You know what I'm talking about? Real talk.
No doubt. We're going to get into that. All right. Dons and Divas. This is that exclusive banger by Young Kano, Kano's World. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
On my arm, I don't mess with my ex. I'ma heavyweight, champion of the world. If you got a problem, then I'm about to take your girl. Wanna know about me, then you see my personality. My flow will make you fly, feeling like you're lost in gravity. I'm the latest man, but I want one girl. If she want it all, then I'ma give her the world. But I will boom rush ya. Always been fresh from my head to my toes. Everywhere I go, I've been fresh with my clothes. I touch down and the women always shocking me. Friends say they cool, but you know they cat blocking me. Been up on my raps while I'm doing mixtapes. Got my fans loving me, now I feel appreciated. Things motivate me and it makes me stronger. I keep it going cause these tapes got longer. When I do shows, I be rocking the girls. Got these love songs playing and the girls screaming loud. When I'm at the mall, all I'm buying is Nikes. Haters looking at me and they want to fight me. Nothing doesn't faze me cause I know my ability. People really love me and they loving on a trilogy. Welcome to a mind of a hustler. Motivated rapper, they ain't worried about the buster. This is Kano's world, you gon' learn about me. This is Kano's world, you gon' learn about me. Welcome to a mind of a hustler. Motivated rapper, they ain't worried about the buster. This is Kano's world, you gon' learn about me.
Doing it. Ain't no question about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
Hold on, Rich, I gotta say something. If y'all love that instrumental, you know what I'm saying? I made that, that's my beat, I made that from scratch. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So you just taking it all. You just put it all out there on a whole nother level. And that's what's good, because like you said, you're multi-talented, so you don't got to worry about the next man or worrying about that studio time with the producer coming late or anything like that.
No, not at all. I got the song. I can do it all. You know what I'm saying? When if I put my mind to it, I could actually do it. I just learn. You know what I'm saying? And then I just teach myself how to do things, and then I get it like the back of my hands. You heard me? But I'm glad you like that record, man. That's a dope record. Came from the heart.
Yeah. And that track is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, how long did it actually take you to do that track?
Writing-wise, I've written that like 20 minutes.
Right. And the production?
Yeah. But production, making the beat took me about an hour to make the beat, you know what I'm saying, because I had to get it perfect. But the writing, it took me about 20 minutes to write the song, an hour to make the beat. Recording-wise, it took me about 30 minutes, another 30 minutes to edit the whole thing out. So all together, it was like a couple of hours, like almost 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Wow. We have a caller, but you're going to bring him on right now, right?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Let's go.
You have Young Kano on the line?
Young Kano, what is it doing, Kano? What's good?
Oh, man, I'm cooling, you know what I'm talking about? I can't complain. What's the business, Playboy?
Ain't nothing, man. This is Joe, man, NYC. Listen, bro. Every time you put a track out there, it's smash. You're burning up the charts. You know what I mean? I hear you, man. I believe everything comes 360, you heard?
Music
you put here right now, I don't know if you're really ready for that, man. It's just too hot. But eventually, they're going to catch on. Keep doing what you're doing. So
Thanks, bro.
You have the right attitude, man. This is the cut-through industry, you know what I mean? Trust no one, man. Stay on your grind. Write it, produce it on your own. You got to worry about nothing. It's all yours.
For sure, man. Thank you. I appreciate the love, fam.
All right, G's up. You already know.
For sure, bro.
All
Now, young Kendall, let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
How old was you when you first started? How old was you when you first started, you know, deciding on wanting to do your production? Or did it all just combine in one?
How old I started doing production? Okay. Writing-wise, I started writing at 13, going to 14. Making the beats-wise, I was like 17 when I started making beats, you know what I'm saying? When I first started, I was sloppy at it, but as time went on, I got totally better, you heard me? I'm 20 years old right now, you know what I'm saying? So it took me about a few months to get to making the beats perfected. So I perfected it, and now it just sounds way better, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And all together with the engineering and stuff like that, I just got it down between 14 and 17, got everything down, mixing and mastering everything.
Okay. Where would you like to see this stuff 3 years from now?
Say it one more time.
Where do you see your stuff 3 years from now?
In about 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna get this goes down. I want y'all to actually listen to what I'm about to say. Number one, in 3 years, I will already have a record deal. You know what I'm saying? Major deal with creative freedom, and I have the ability to make the best material that I possibly can. Two, I would probably be already done married. You hear me? With a wife and prior child. You feel me? Tree, winning awards, you heard me, from BET, MTV, to every award possible, you heard me?
Hi.
Four, I have me my own record label, you heard me, and I'm still repping Southern Slang Gang to the fullest, so you know that ain't never going away, you heard me? Number five, well, that's the main thing right now I'm trying to do now is make sure I got a loyal and a strong team behind me. You feel me? That can help me get to the next level and beyond. And most likely, I might end up be doing movies, having merchandise, shoes, clothing, anything you can think of, I'll probably have it.
All right. You know what? Young Chano, you know, like I say, you're welcome anytime. What I want you to do is get them all your information.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, get y'all pen and pad out. You heard me? Get y'all pen and pad out. Because I want y'all to actually go to these sites and y'all hit me up. Because, you know, I talk to my supporters, my fans every day. You feel me? Y'all, this the main site I be on the most. Y'all go on twitter.com/ Young Kano. That's YOUNGKANO. Twitter.com/ Young Kano. Now, Facebook, y'all can hit me up. Y'all can like my page. I also answer back on that. You know what I'm saying? Facebook.com/ The Real Young Kano. That's THEREALYOUNGKANO. The Real Young Kano. I'm also still on MySpace. If y'all still got a MySpace, y'all add me on there. MySpace.com/ Young Kano The Truth. THA. You know what I'm talking about? ReverbNation.com/ Young Kano, SoundClick.com/ Young Kano, and SoundCloud.com/ Young Kano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on the side site. I'm not like Soulja Boy how he first did it, but I learned from him how to market myself, you know what I'm saying? So, but it worked out because, like, I'm almost at 20,000 followers on Twitter, so. Yeah, I do what I can, you know what I'm saying? And I'm almost at 1,000 likes on Facebook, so I just learned how to market myself, you know what I'm saying? So
that's the main thing.
Yeah, you got to learn to market yourself. If you can't market yourself, if you lazy and don't want to do it yourself, then you have major problems in the industry. You got to learn to market yourself, promote yourself, make sure you a brand, you know what I'm saying? And get your name, keep your name alive. If you feel like your name is dying out, you know what I'm saying, make yourself still relevant in the game. And I've been doing that, you know what I'm saying, since 08, man. I started recording people who wasn't taking me seriously. When I first dropped Ghetto City 2, I basically made a head turn with the Ghetto, with the Southern Girls joint, then Heaven's Blue Note joint. But I want to let y'all know something. When y'all heard at the end of Kano's Word, Candles World song, when they say with the trilogy line, that lets them know that I'm also coming out with Ghetto City 3, and that's highly anticipated, and that's going to come out next year, though.
No doubt. Is there any shout-outs you want to give, Kano?
Shout out to y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? That's first and foremost, man. Cause y'all been supporting me, man. Y'all been playing my joints, you know what I'm saying? Y'all been showing me a lot of love, man. Shout out to the boy Joe, man. He been showing me love too, you know what I'm saying? Put God first and foremost, you know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for him, I would be nobody to this day, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my homegirl Coco, cool people. Shout out to Urban Life, you know what I'm saying? They've been messing with me too. They trying to help me out with my career too, you know what I'm saying? But if I'm looking for everybody, man, I need all y'all support. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go major, y'all. I'm trying to go either indie or major. I need everybody to just show some support, man. Help me keep my name alive. You know what I'm talking about? It's up.
No doubt. And like I said, you're welcome back anytime. Can't know you heard?
Yeah, I urge you, Rich.
Right.
I'ma holler at you. You know, we cool. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Keep it sending those exclusives too, man.
Yeah. I got another single I'ma drop for y'all. I'ma send it off to y'all next week. I know you're gonna play it most likely next Friday, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt, you know what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Young Kano, Dawgs and Divas. All right, coming up next, we have our special guest appearance, the Real from Untamed Talent. He's doing big things. He's taking things to a whole nother level. He's an actor, writer, comedian, poet. His poetry is ridiculous. You hear what I say? So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with the Real. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
I'm a realist, so I like to keep it real. Things just ain't been the same since you've been gone. Things just ain't been the same since you've been gone. Ma, I know I betrayed you so, but you my favorite though. When she was doing bad, I act like Super Saver Ho. And then I realized that you played a greater role. And she ain't do nothing but making niggas paper slow. Plus, you my everything. Sun and moonlight. I can make everything right in just a few nights. I can show you the whole world in just a few flights. I put you in that seven cities if you move right. Unique in a special way. She intelligent, but for that paper, she hit the players club like Lisa Ray. I ain't one to make believe. I took a hard hit. Everybody telling me to take it and leave. Or I can make it work. I can make it work. I understand that I can never replace the hurt. All that stressing had a nigga confessing. Fucking listening to Usher. I done threw away the blessing.
Like you wasn't trying.
Her name and I call her a filthy bitch. Cause misery loves company. New in the spot, they wanna be. Plus, you my only one. And it's sad, but I gotta face the fact I can't take back what I've done. I can't erase the past, but we can race the jag. And hit the 7-room mansion, new place to crash. It's been my first night since we parted. A lot of catching up to do, so of course we started. But my phone rung and that's it. You know the response. Oh, you still keeping in touch with that bitch?
Unstoppable. Memories unforgettable. Sorry, we couldn't
and you know. So I was so lost in them streets. Talk first, think never. Now I'm putting thoughts together. How much would it cost me to cherish her? I let the streets just control my life. Never thought of the consequences when I rolled my dice. Even worse, I played the same role back twice. And now I'm so lost. Fucked up picture and used the same Kodak twice. I thought one day they'd throw that right. I know I caused you some pain. I was lame and I hate how I feel. We was like B and J, Jade and Will. All to the destiny, play with a will. Now I'm begging you to stay with me still. I know it makes not a bit of sense to you, cause you started a new life.
Are you sure?
But are you sure what you're doing is right?
Sounds like you wasn't trying. And my heart kept fighting.
Dons and Divas, welcome back. That was that new flavor by Sicko, the main thing, Inseparable Memories. Check him out. You can YouTube him and all that. Got the videos going down. He's doing big things. Coming up now, we have The Real from Unchained Talent. Real, welcome to the show.
All right, what's going on? What's going on? How you doing? How you doing?
All right, Real, what's going on, man?
Ain't nothing much, man. Just relaxing.
I know you a busy man, so I really appreciate you taking the time out to join us this evening.
No doubt, no doubt. I had fun the last time. Let's do it again. You know, why not?
No doubt. Now, let's let the people know, because you're doing a whole lot. You actor, writer, comedian, poet, and host, and you just hitting all angles right now.
Well, you know, from young I was taught, you know, when God give you a talent, you use it or you take it away. So, you know, I just, it started out with one, and as I was crafting one, I just would realize the other and just added them on. And today, I'm blessed to say that I've done a lot and still doing a lot. Like today, I can also say mentor. Today, me and some members of my group, we were at a school. We spoke with some kids who they label as bad kids, and you know, we rap with them for a little bit, talk with them, chopped it up, got through to them, you know, found out what their world was like, told them how they can do things a little bit better, and that was it. It was a good look.
Wow. No, that's definitely a good look. That's real serious right there. Now, what was the first thing you had started to do out of everything?
The first thing I started doing was acting. My very first job, which was the Greater Brownsville Youth Council, I was a peer educator. And basically what that meant was we went to schools, churches, Rikers Island, Rosie Singer, wherever, and we did improvisational theater to educate people on stuff like HIV and AIDS, condom negotiation, pregnancy, alternatives to violence. And I did that from the age of 14 till I was about 20. So that was like the first, that was the first staple. And one of my supervisors there, Kenny Williams, he's a comedian. He actually got me to tap into the comedy. Shout out to Kenny Williams, funny brother. And he exposed me to that world, and that was crazy. And then I just added on as I just moved on.
Now, I know you started at the Greater Brownsville Youth Council as a peer educator. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was during the time when I was, like, I grew up in the stock. Around 14, crack was heavy, you know, so you either was in the streets or you was in the books or whatever. And I was in the street, but I had one of those mothers that didn't play those games. So even though I was in the street, I still realized the consequences of being in the street. And I was a kid who at the time I wanted certain things that I couldn't get. So my mother told me about this place that was hiring, and it was in Brownsville. It was something I'd never seen before, because they're in there and they're rehearsing and they're just doing these scenes and they're just doing theater and they're doing it off their head, and it was just crazy. So that was the first job, Greater Brownsville. It was an after school thing, so I only worked like 4 hours. But in them 4 hours, we did a lot. I met Arthur Ashe before he passed. I represented New York City with the HIV and AIDS thing. Department of Health had a Protect the Blood campaign. I was sat on the chair for that. Like, I did a lot. I owe a lot of who I am now to Greater Brownsville Youth Council. Not the management, but the experience and my coworkers, because management was a little off and they had, you know.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, as you being a poet, do you sit and think through every word of every stanza, or do you just write freely, allowing the words to flow?
Well, for me, like, many poets have different processes. Mine, most of my poems and poetry has a point. So once I get to the point, it's just about navigating to the point. And because I do the improv, I'm always editing. Like, you may catch me do the same piece, and I may do it 4 different times, depending on where I'm at, who I'm doing it for, because just as life keeps changing, my feelings keep changing, my focus changes, but the message stays the same. Just how I deliver it may be a little different.
Now, the first time you started writing, was there a reason for it, or did you just feel like, I just want to write?
It was peer pressure. I was part of a group called Two Brothers and a Sister. Shout out to the production. And we all came from Greater Brownsville. And what happened at Greater Brownsville was a lot of people nurtured and developed their talent there. So as they got older, they just moved on. So it was Mello, Brown, and this female Jesse. What they were doing, they was going around and they was doing. They were like a poetry troupe, but they did, like, entire performances. So being that I act and I could direct and all of that, I was a part of it, but I couldn't write poetry. Like, because for me, when I first heard poetry, it wasn't anything I could feel. I don't know anything about Egypt. I have no desire to go back to Africa. I'm really not there. So we go to a show in the Bronx, and this female does an erotic poem, and that's what opened me up to realize that there's different forms of poetry. So the first poem I wrote was actually To Keep From Spazzing, but I still didn't consider myself a poet. I didn't consider myself a poet for about 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it was about 8 months. Yeah, because after, like, when you get introduced to something that you were so against, like, when I first heard poetry, like I said, I didn't know the aggressiveness that could be poetry. Everything I heard was either soft or just something I couldn't relate to, because while that should be my culture, it wasn't my culture. I'm raised in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, one parent, so I didn't know things like Ashe and all of that, so I wasn't with that. But in doing it and going to, like, Hottest Poets and New Eureka Poets Cafe, and you hear all of this different poetry, You learn a different respect for just wordplay and for anybody who's willing to get up on stage and do it. But it becomes a genuine love and respect for people who spit stuff that you can feel. Because there's a lot of poets out here that they do stuff that sounds good, but it has no substance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like you'll hear it and it's cute or it's nice, but it don't have any heart to it, no soul to it. So whenever I would hear a poet that spits something that you not only felt, but you can visualize, like, I gravitated to that, and I learned to appreciate that.
Now, do you care whether or not your words mean something to anyone, or is it a self-serving exercise?
Well, I mean, I think writing it is the exercise for yourself. But I feel that when you get on stage, you should hope that at least one person feels what you say or can relate, because otherwise you could have just did it in your house. Like, these people are sitting here, so it's your job to try to reach at least one person.
Okay, right. Now, I want to play one of your poems, because this poem is so deep. I mean, it's just like, oh, man, I can't even, I don't even have the right word for it. but I want to get into it. It's the real for real. And did you write this poem based on the past? And if so, how did you feel when you was writing it? This poem is so deep.
When I wrote it as a challenge, because a lot of my poetry, like this poet, I know poets, even on Untamed Talent, that go deep. Like they get deep into what they do. And my thing has always been, for me to put that much of my person out there is tricky, because my fear is if I go out that far, who's going to bring me back? So when I wrote that, it was a challenge to see if I can put that much of my bare self out there. And the first time I spit it, I was nervous because I didn't know what the reaction was going to be. But the reaction was good. It was received well. And any poet that tells you that performing is not therapy, then they really shouldn't be doing it, because there's some therapy in when I do poems like that. That, you know, it's a reflection of my past, but it also shows that even though I went through all of those things, I'm better now. I've passed that now, and it made me a stronger person. So I definitely pay homage to my past. Would I do some things over? Definitely, but I don't regret much, you know, because it made me who I am today. So, yeah.
So we're going to get into that. We're going to play that poem right now. All right, Dons and Divas, this is a poem by The Real, titled The Real for Real, and it's so deep. So I want y'all to take heed and listen real close. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. Brother, baby.
You won't hear me talk about pushing keys or working for the Colombians because I never did it. You'll never hear me talk about being on an operating table, seeing my death, and hearing my breath because I never lived it. You may hear me talk about head once or twice because I love it. But you can trust, believe anything you hear from me, I've experienced it. From death to life, from weed to the smell of a burning crack pipe. No, I've never been a crackhead, but we all got one in our family, right? I can tell you what it's like to constantly feel like death is chasing you. From fires in your homes to 4 car accidents and almost dying of crib death too. I can tell you what it's like to have to fight the feeling of doing the wrong thing because of the stress and heartache it may bring to your loved ones. I can tell you what it's like to take care of a child just to find out it ain't yours, or denying a child just to find out that it is yours. The aftermath of God taking away your first child and having to be the man of the house because your mom's was gone for a little while. Shit. What you know about candlelight pan-bread dinners because you have no choice? What do you know about when bill collectors call for your moms, you finding ways to change your voice? What you know about wearing the same clothes till you can't wear them no more, and packing bags at the supermarket till your back and hands are sore? What you know about living in an apartment with over 27 living violations and being one check, one step away from sleeping in a train station? What you know about being 13 and taking care of your mom's business because you got a high education and having to read to her a letter of termination? All this shit I did when I was a kid, serving a life sentence in poverty, wondering and hating how the rich live. You see, I've struggled. I fought for a better life. And before God turns off my lights, I'm going to know what living comfortable feels like. For real, for real.
Yo. Real?
Yes, sir.
Excuse my French, but that's some real shit right there. I'm dead serious, man.
Thank you, man.
You know how if you hear a singer give you chills? That joint
right.
Actually give a person chills, because that's how you can hear the hunger, the deepness, and the truthfulness in your voice as you speak it.
Yeah, man, it was a test for me to write that one.
Now, wow. Now, you also an actor.
Right.
You was in Paper Chasing with rapper Dwight D.L. Clark. Tell us a little bit about that.
All right. King of Paper Chasing is an urban crime drama, a.k.a. Hood Flick. And D.L. actually plays the main character, which is Carte Blanche. I play one of the co-stars. My name is Ugly Man. They call me Ug for short. And I'm basically the last reflection of Carte's past. When Carte was a drug dealer, when he was about the streets, that's where I come from. When the movie begins, I'm just coming home from doing 7 years. He's now into the rap game. He has a new army. He has a new soldier, you know, new right-hand man and all of that. And it's a world that I don't fit in. but I refuse to reform. So all throughout the movie, everything that can be wrong, that's me. Period.
Wow.
Think of the most grimiest dude you know, give him a sense of humor, and that's me. Yeah, my own mother, called me and was like, I'd have shot you in the face in the first 20 minutes. So I think I did my job, you know.
Yeah, moms don't play.
Nah, she don't play at all. She's like, you was a real, you know, I ain't going to say what she said, but yeah.
Okay, I see I have a caller for you. We're going to bring her on right now. All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What?
All right, you have the real on the line.
Yo, Real, what it do, Real?
What's happening, bro? What's going on with you?
All right, man. Ain't nothing much, brother. Man, I like that poetry, man. It's very powerful. It's definitely realistic, unlike a lot of other poetry that I've ever heard before. You know what I mean? I like to say, man, very touchy. Like, if you never heard poetry, if you don't like poetry, after hearing your poetry, rap, man, you stuck to it.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
Powerful, man. Very powerful, man. Realistic. Everything you talk about, like everyday life. If somebody has experienced everything that you say, real life drama. That's good.
I appreciate that, man.
Not a problem.
My goal is to give people just realness, because there's so much phony. We deal with so much phony in a day. Even at work, we got to be phony. So, you know, I try to make sure I give somebody at least a touch of realness for the day.
Yeah, you got me. That's for sure. I never smoked crack, but I had one in my family. Yeah, there we go. All right. All right, brother. Good luck, sir.
All right. We have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello? Caller,
yeah? Yeah, I want to speak to my man, Ugly Man.
What's going on?
What's up, guys? This is K.O. What's up, baby?
Oh, Big Boss Man, what are you doing? Big Boss Man, what's going on with you? Shout out to World Play and Raven Publishing. Yeah.
Yo, what's going on, man? Listen, Rich, what's up, dog?
What's going on, K?
You got my man reeling in the right way. Oh, man.
Listen,
the reason why I called there, man, because I don't want to steal any real shine. Let me tell you something. Real is one of the humblest dudes who's out here grinding, who sometimes you got to kick him in his butt to remind him how talented he really is. you know, and one of the things that I try to do, because I'm a little older, but the reason why we do business together is because when I watch this cat perform, yo, it's a whole different person when he's spitting his pieces. And as everyone that's listening heard, when his name is on point, because that's what he keeps it. He keeps it real. And my thing with him is when we talk, I have to show him how there's more that's in there that other folks need to see so they can get to see the whole person. And
yeah.
I mean, the dude is multi-talented. The dude has skills. And on top of that, he's a very sensible brother and respectful brother. And what he does, like, I asked him to come to the school last year or 2 years ago to speak to my young men. And one of the first questions he came in, he said, well, how real can we get? I said, yo, these are young hood kids, man. Do what you got to do. So we closed the door, and, yo, he spoke to the cats like he was on the block. And let me tell you something. They responded tremendously because of the way he presented it. And, yo, I'm honored to be doing business with him. Yes, we're in the book Wordplay together. And
that's
one of the
right,
reasons why I chose
right,
him. That's right. One of the reasons why I chose him as one of the poets is because, yo, his words touch folks who's going through something. Because of the fact that he puts it out there in a way that if you're sitting there and you're like, yo, I done had my mom doped up doing the lean with the dude in the bedroom and I don't even know who that dude is, he speaks to that dude. The sister who ain't never been treated the right way because dudes is running up in her. But she's still trying to find something sexy about herself. He talks to that young lady, too, and his pieces and his work. Let me tell you something. I had to call, and that's why I'm glad that he's back on, because I'm going to tell you something. People need to keep an eye out for that young man because he wants to give back to the hood, but the hood has to understand you got to uplift a dude like that.
Exactly.
for him to give back, you got to be able to give him and put him in that position, because whatever he snatch off that table, he bring it back home. He'll get a Robin Hood. Trust me when I tell you.
For sure.
Plus he's Ugly Man in the movie. So if you ain't seen the movie, the ghetto classic, The King of Paper Chasing, that's my man, Ugly Man.
See, that's why I love KL. You know, that's why I love him.
So look,
yo,
I'm gonna let
for anybody out there trying to get your book done, definitely holla at Brazen, man. Like, he's not trying to rob you. He's not trying to get over. He's approachable. Yo, holla at him. Get that money. Stop playing. Get that money.
But, yo, to both of y'all, man, because, Rich, you're doing a wonderful job. And what you bring into the hood, too, is needed, because you're giving cats a platform. And every week, sometimes I can't make it on. I try to call in when you have people on, because, you know what, behind the scenes, and anybody listening to the show, let me tell you why you better tune in every Friday. Rich is a real dude. Me and Rich has great conversations behind the scenes. And I'm going to tell you something. He really cares about what he does. He runs a professional show. I've been on many of shows, but you have no idea what's going on during the interview. You gotta
exactly.
Come back. This brother
exactly.
Really.
Exactly. You winging it.
And these are the brothers that you got to support. So anybody listening, make sure you tune in. Make sure it's locked in every Friday, because, yo, this brother could take this somewhere where somebody could put bread in his pocket. And then, again, he's going to turn around and come back and give it to the hood. If you just listen to the guests that he has on each week, listen, man, both of y'all are doing powerful things, and I respect you, and I'm glad that I'm doing business with both of y'all. So I'm going to end this
you,
now and jump off.
Boss man, go ahead, boss man.
Much respect to both of y'all, man. Keep doing what you're doing, fam.
Day to you, Kay. Good looking.
Peace.
All right. We have another caller for you, Chain. Unchained, we're going to bring him in. I mean, well, all right.
it's all good.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have The Real on the line.
Hi, The Real, how are you?
All right, and yourself?
I'm doing good. I just want to tell you that the poem is so deep.
Thank you. It's so deep.
I heard it last time, and it's, wow. It's definitely touching, and I think that it's great what you're doing, because in our society, with our youth nowadays, they need someone like you to be able to speak to them and just to reach out to them to show them that, you know what, this is what I went through and this is where I am now. And this is what
right.
You should be doing at the same time, you know. So I think it's you're definitely a blessing. Definitely.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, let me ask you. If you was walking down the street and you seen The Real and you knew everything he done, what's the first word that would come to mind when you see him?
Determined.
Okay.
Determined. Because my biggest motivator is when people say you can't do it. Like, that's been, you know, because I was always taught, don't let nothing or no one beat you. There's a way to do whatever. So, yeah, I would say determined.
Okay. That's something real deep right there. Now, what I want to do, I want to get into one more of your poems.
Okay.
No Underground Railroad.
Oh, boy.
Tell us a little bit about that.
All right. No Underground Railroad is a collaboration. The concept was created by one of the members of Untamed Talent, Christ Is. He's actually the elder of Untamed Talent. His background is educator, mentor. He did years up top, came back and decided that he wants to use his past life experiences to reach out and save and educate our young black men. So he came up with this concept, No Underground Railroad, because we were just talking about, like, the black girls rock thing. And it was like, you know, it's nothing out here to tell young black men that you're worth something more than just standing on the corner. You know, you're worth more than the option of slinging. And so me, him, and the youngest member of Untamed Talent, Distinguished, this brother, he's just like the Energizer Bunny on crack. His energy is always crazy. He's always in something. He's about to do a play on Broadway. He's studying to be a lawyer. Like, he's just all around good cat. So one day we just all got together. We all wrote pieces, and that's what we came up with, No Underground Railroad.
All right, so we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, take heed. Here's another spectacular poem by the real No Underground Railroad. This is GQ Palace, Love Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Don't talk to me about southern trees. Negroes like Ethiopians. Burnt faces are still being lit in the trees. I still smell the stench of Emmett Till on the leaves. Who wants to watch rainbows? For them cut boys who consider suicide when homicide was just another color in the rainbow. Harriet, there are no underground railroads for colored boys. Like Langston, we too speak of rivers, ancient rivers that speak in tongues. Colored boys like the echoes of stillborns screaming in tongues. Grandma's hands, burrows are never young. Who wants to play with tambourines when church Sundays are spent burning another young? Another youth, another nigger. Run, nigga, run. My skin feels like a caged bird. I don't want to be human anymore. My skin feels like a caged bird. Colored boys like endangered species. Calling shackles on a mockingbird. There are no underground railroad for colored boys. Black butterflies, shackled laughter. Unwanted colored boys like birth controls from the morning after. It's like the ghetto is stoning out babies' laughter. God's son. Forsaken embryos like male sons, black mammies, aunt your mama still sending color boys in the kitchen when company comes, like Gil Scott. My home is where the hatred is. My hood is where the hatred lives. Call it Brooklyn, call it Harlem, call it the slums. Run, colored boy, run. There are no teleparies to tell your story. White man's war never made you a miracle on St. Anne's. Black robes, white men still playing hangman under the covers. They killed cornbread. Run, black boy, run. For there are no underground railroads for colored boys.
They say black girls rocking, black girls roll, but who's gonna be responsible for the black girl's soul when the mentality of the foundation of the family has become? I'm doing me. No longer concerned with nurturing and support. More interested in clubbing and child support. Using that lower thing like a championship ring, and I'ma take this nigga for all I can game? Damn. Twisted and misguided mentality of what being a parent really is. You're not a mommy and a daddy. You're just a mommy working overtime, sadly. Why? Cause that sorry ass mom didn't understand what it meant to be called daddy. But it starts with us men. From the pain and insecurities that we hide within. From the first woman that we gave our heart. And for no reason at all, what did she do? She tore it apart. So we shut down, we clam up. A fortress around our heart goes up. I didn't do it to you, you didn't do it to me. But I look like, cheat like, smell like, get high like him. And you kill dreams like, accuse like, scream like, let him beat like her. Understanding and support is what we're missing. My strength is the stick. Your heart is the nose point. Let's put this shovel and start digging. A better future for our little girls. Man, forget that. A better future for all our children.
I'm lost. I said I'm lost. Don't know if I'm a boy. Don't know if I'm a girl. Gay, lesbian, transgendered. The way I choose to live my life, you want a censor. I was talked about on the radio. Don't think I forgot about those tabloids. My heart cries out to those misunderstood. Those who come from the ghettos. Torn DNA structures we call a family. can't trust our neighbors like at one time. Or you think you cover our heads with hoods? Cause I come from one. Cause I live in one. Cause I shot a gun. A bullet killed someone. She was so naive, but she slipped up big. He was 17 doing a 10-year-old bid. We need more doctors for this. King's eating fried chicken, calling women birds. Chill in front of the corner store, the liquor store, deteriorating their worth, trust in their hurt. Truth never looked so real after seeing a drug dealer right after church. My God, these aren't tub men, no more underground. Some of the brothers dig up gold and silver for placing a rail on the ground. The civil rights movement in reverse. Rubies, bridges collapsing like the towers. This freedom was never ours. MS2 still sinking for hours. No more underground. Until further notice.
Heard it too, and she was like, "Who is that?" We just want you to know that, hey, your music is all that and some more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I sure will.
Because you got it going on.
All right.
And stay positive.
Thank you. I sure will.
You're welcome, hon.
All right.
Good night.
Real, let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
As you being an actor, what role would you like to play that you haven't played yet?
I would like to do. It's funny. I want to do like an action love story, only because every action film and every love film I've seen, the dude is like 6'19", chiseled. Like, those are not the only dudes that know how to love, and those ain't the only dudes that know how to do action flicks. Let's get a big boy up in there, get him popping and do what he do. Yeah.
Okay.
Or comedy, yeah.
Now, if you had to do only one out of everything that you're doing, only one choice, which one would it be involved?
Oh, wow. It would have to be either hosting or poetry, because in either one of those I can be all that I am. And if I had to pick between the two, I would probably say poetry, because with the poetry I can go many different venues and avenues in the entertainment that I bring to people.
Okay, that's understandable. Now, let's talk about my addiction, my escape, and wordplay.
What made you write those novels? All right. Well, with wordplay, as you heard from the big boss man, KL, when I met KL, I met him at Sisters Uptown Bookstore. Christ is having a speaking engagement, because we do open mics throughout the city as well, and we have discussion panels and all types of stuff. So this particular discussion panel was on the state of black youth. And I met KL, and it just seemed like we just start showing up in the same places, and he seen me perform, and he just came to me. He's like, "Listen, I'm doing this book, an anthology. Do you got 10 poems? I'm like, 10 poems? That's all you need? Let's get it. So that was that.
Next thing I know, Wordplay was born. My very first publication. I was beyond excited. Framed the first one. All that good stuff. My Addiction, My Escape is an ebook, which is a collection of my poems, short stories, and my opinions on certain life issues that I call seeds, and just my thoughts. So that book is just basically, it's a collection of all that I am. It's some poetry, it's some storytelling. I even have a segment called The Family Speaks, where I've had, like, people in my life, in my past, like, actually write something to contribute to my book. So, yeah, it's a lot of different things. And I call it My Addiction, My Escape, the collection of works that saved my life, because a lot of it was written during the time when I was going from the realization that you're not a boy anymore, you're a grown man, as well as taking care of a family. And at the same time, with all of that happening, I needed an outlet. Now, I play football. Shout out to the Brooklyn Bulldogs, semi-pro team. I've done that since I was, like, 17. But, you know, that's a once-a-week thing. So I needed something constant. And it seemed like every time I just wrote, it didn't matter if it was a monologue, a poem, a story, whatever. I just felt better in writing. So that's why it's called My Addiction, My Escape, because without it, I don't think that I would have been able to. I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I know that. I'd probably be on Rikers Island or on the next episode of Scared Straight or something, because that's where it was going.
Wow. Let me ask you one more question. How do you manage to balance everything out?
Wow. Well, to be truthfully honest, it's a combination of very little sleep and a great support system, which is my family and Untamed Talent. I know that all that I'm doing, I would not be able to do it at the level that I didn't if it wasn't for the members of Untamed Talent. I have members on the team that they keep my mentals right. They just keep me on point. And because they're so driven, we're just like a force. So I got to give it up to them, and I got to give it up to my family, because they deal with the madness when I'm rehearsing, when they want me here and I'm out doing a show or something like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
But very little sleep plays a big part, plays a very big part.
All right. Well, you know, Unchained, it was an honor having you on. Why don't you give the listeners all your information?
All right. Well, I mean, we're all over the internet. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Hootsuite. We even on Black Planet. But what I'll do is I'll give everybody our website, and you can find all of us and funnel through all of that. www.weareuntamedtalent.com. Also, if possible, I would just like to mention August 8th and August 11th, Untamed Talent is going to have two open mic shows. The first one is going to be at Green City, which is on Bedford and Jefferson. That's Thursday, August 9th. It's called Think Now, Laugh Later, the Comedy and Poetry Show. Tickets is $10. Then on the 11th, which is that Saturday, for all our grown and sexy people, Untamed Talent is bringing you Now That's Sexy, and an evening of erotic poetry and so much more. That's going down at the Social Butterfly on Atlantic Avenue between Waverly and Washington. That one is also $10. But for all the information, you can just hit the website, and hopefully I'll see some of y'all there. Mention the show, and I give you the family discount.
All right. We definitely going to be there. Ain't no question about it.
All right, Ben. Thank you for having me, man. It's always a pleasure.
No doubt. You got any shout-outs you want to give, Unreal?
Shout-out to the Brooklyn Bulldogs. We got a game tomorrow. We hopefully will beat this team and continue our winning streak. Right now we're at 3-0. Shout-out to Untamed Talent, everybody on the team to do what they do. Shout-out to my family, my babies, Miss Williams, and everybody who's listening. Shout-out to you for having me, and that's about it.
All right, Untamed. But we definitely going to keep in touch.
All right,
you know what I mean? And a big shout out to KL Belvin. He's definitely doing big things.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the big boss man and Tiff. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they definitely doing it.
Get that Gigolo to Jesus. It's a good read.
For sure. It definitely is. All right, Will.
All right, thank you, man. Thank you for having me. Y'all have a good
one. You're welcome. You're welcome anytime, man. All right.
All right.
The real Dons and Divas. All right, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank all the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. We at GQ Palace thank everyone for their love and support. And we also send out our condolences to the Hensley family. Rest in peace, Shirley Hensley, died at 74, gone but never forgotten. Also, don't forget, my swagger is crazy, Pink and White Affair, going down tomorrow night at Sweet James, 172nd East 106th Street, between 3rd and Lenox Ave, 10 to 4 p.m. Tickets is $20. Also, check out that $2 Tuesdays at the Fusion every Tuesday, Black Silk and Boss Goomberg in the Bronx. They doing it big. You heard what I said? They doing it real big. It's going to be bananas for both events, all right? Boogie Black will be in the building at Sweet James on 172nd East 106th Street and many more. We'll be in the building. Tune in next weekend to see who our special guest appearance will be. I'm your host, Rich Money. This is GQ Palace, Love Entertainment, where dreams come true. It's butter, baby. See you next weekend.
Yo, shorty something special, you already know that. Nice round hips, plus she got a throwback. I just wanna let her get acquainted with my Bozak. After that, anything she wants, she can hold that. I'ma get it in, but I'ma get it out quick. $1 million whips, $100,000 outfit. Tell me really, what would the game be without Kiss? Want some G shit, it's the remix.
Just
come on.
Out, fresh out the shower, gotta stay fresh. Take about an hour, gotta get dressed. Your boy's so clean, both of them on. I got them blue chains, fresh pair of shades. Toss on my wrist, talk to the drawers. Your boy stay fit, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Can nobody tell me nothing?
Let me correct myself on one thing. Swagger Party is at 172nd East 106th Street between 3rd and Lexington Avenue, 10 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's 172nd East 106th Street between 3rd and Lexington Avenue. Once again, rest in peace, Sherman and the Night Job.
Wanna hear me, cause I'm taste the choice. It's the East Coast remix, stuntin' on. pull. We get it in, the boy Slim, me Kiss. And now rocking with them rock boys, these boys. Matter of fact, about to take you back. Beat this, my drop tops in the parking lot. And I wanna get you back to the spot. Time to roll with the front line of the rock. Danny Jackson with this rapping, cause I'm back in control.
Feels like I'm taking back. Feels like I'm taking off, I'm so high. Looking for a shawty to break me off.